The 3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Trane Heating and Air Conditioning.
Watson, pressure off the edge. Watson survives it and then checks down to Jones. Jones inside the 40, inside the 30, inside the 20, to the 10-yard line. Taiwan Jones, Deshaun Watson, magical.
To end it, the two of them together.
Yes. I mean, we'll never see this run again, Jim.
Brady's pass is intercepted and returned for a touchdown by Logan Ryan, the former Patriot.
Cousins throws.
Pass is caught for the win. Kyle Rudolph and the Vikings are moving on.
First and goal from the 5, Marshawn Lynch. And can he fight his way in? Yes, he can.
With a touchdown. We're all thinking the same thing. It's like the Super Bowl when he got from the 5 to the 1 and they didn't give it to him. This time he gets from the 5 to the 1 and busts his way in.
The Dallas Cowboys have come to terms with Mike McCarthy, Pittsburgher, Yinzer, formerly of the Green Bay Packers, as their new head coach.
Live from the Petty Clinic Low T Studio, this is You Make the Call on ESPN Central Texas. Here's David Smoke and Paul Catalina.
All right, here we go. The Cowboys have a new coach. Baylor not sure if they're going to need a new coach. Well, good afternoon on this Monday, and here we go. The NFL playoffs reached the second round, a very entertaining first round of the wild card weekend of the National Football League. Latest on Matt Rhule, as of about 11:30 or 12 this morning, he was in Cabo about to fly, and the only reason I knew that, quite frankly, not checking in on him, is I saw a report about Carolina and the owner in Texas to interview, not to interview, was interviewing Matt Rhule. So I text him and laugh out loud. And I'm at an airport in Cabo. So if it's an interviewing, that's as in present tense, maybe this afternoon, maybe tonight, I don't know. I really have left this alone. I've had a lot of you reach out to me. Hey, Smokey, have you seen this? Have you seen that? You could drive yourself crazy. And honestly, it's just, you know what? Life changes. And if, in fact, that happens, it happens. Also, yes, the Giants are in play. No question about it. There's a lot of nervous energy on the campus at Baylor about the Giants. I get that. In the end, guess what? Within the next 3 to 4 days, you'll know. One way or the other. You might know in the next 24 to 48 hours. Cowboys know. It's Mike McCarthy. And if you look at Mike McCarthy's stats as a head coach, 13 years with the Packers, Paul, head-to-head with Sean Payton, there's not much of a difference.
No, he's... You know, Cowboy fans wanted Sean Payton for the longest time, right?
That was only the guy. Because they want the glitz and the glamour of Sean Payton.
Yeah, well... And Sean,
where are they now?
Home?
With Drew Brees?
Yeah.
I know last year they got screwed out of the NFC Championship game, but...
My point being, Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton are essentially the same guy. They've each won a Super Bowl. They've each had really good runs. They've each made deep playoff runs. And they've each had a quarterback that, you know, people will say that they didn't get enough out of this quarterback in their prime.
Sean Payton's 131-77. Mike McCarthy 125-77-2. 6 division titles for both. Payton's playoff record 8-7. McCarthy's 10-8. 3 NFC title games for Payton. 4 for McCarthy. Both have won a Super Bowl ring. Now, does that mean McCarthy's the same as good a coach as Payton, or vice versa? No. Different styles. Different type of guys. The one thing I do like about McCarthy is it appears to be, and I hate the term Dak friendly, this appears to be something that is offensively friendly to who they have right now on their football team. Dak is not Aaron Rodgers. But this seems to be an opportunity with Mike McCarthy and what Dak does best in his offense that this could be a really good fit.
Yeah, I think so. And Mike McCarthy, someone who... As much criticism as he got for the end of his run with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of that falls on the GM who, you know, they weren't very active and they kind of let their roster dip down a little bit. Now they have a new GM there. But the other thing is, who made Aaron Rodgers as a coach? Who was his coach at the beginning? Who got the most out of him when he started that? Who got the Super Bowl out of him? That was Mike McCarthy.
Well, and also, it's pretty well documented. With all due respect, Aaron Rodgers is having a really good year. They're in the next round of the playoffs, got a first-round bye. It's also been documented the last 2 or 3 years, Aaron Rodgers has been estranged from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
including basically his entire family. Now, that's kind of personal, but that's documented. That's not like, oh, my God, it's pss, pss, pss. So you can imagine there's a lot of things maybe going on in Aaron Rodgers' head or in his own life that made it create a little bit of that friction as well. But one of the things that made me a little bit nervous about Aaron Rodgers was some of the reporting, and this coming even from the huddle of players in the huddle, of how he was basically making fun of or rolling his eyes at anything that came in from the sideline with Mike McCarthy. I don't think that's Mike McCarthy being I think that's more Aaron Rodgers being petulant.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And look, there's one thing that's
for
sure.
But they have won the last – they won this year without McCarthy. Yeah, last year,
but
not so much.
But also, Aaron Rodgers had his worst statistical year.
Well, it's a different team.
It is.
That says a lot about Rodgers. He doesn't have to throw for 4,000 yards.
No, and, you know, they all were on the same page, coach, GM, and quarterback, and that's never a recipe for winning. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out that that's going on and something's gotten stale. But, you know, Andy Reid's time had gotten stale at the end of his Eagles tenure. Did Andy Reid forget how to coach football? No, he just needed a new opportunity. And right now he's got the Chiefs in position again to have a deep playoff run. We'll see what they do. But, you know, I mean, there's nothing that says that Mike McCarthy can't be successful. Now, is this the splash, sexy hire that most fans want? But no, but those only win the press conference. The only measuring stick, the only thing you have to worry about in all of this will be determined in January or the first week in February, every year that McCarthy is the Cowboys coach. There's only one measuring stick for this. Does Mike McCarthy win a Super Bowl with the Cowboys? That's it.
Nobody has ever done that in the NFL. Like, nobody has ever done winning two Super Bowls or winning Super Bowls with two different teams. People have gone to Super Bowls with different teams. But nobody has ever won a Super Bowl with one team and then turned around and gone somewhere else and won it. Don Shula didn't do it.
Nope.
Bill Parcells didn't do it.
Don Shula did it in reverse, right? He went to the Super Bowl with the Colts and then...
and then won a ton with Miami.
And won with Miami. Yeah.
Dan Reeves never did it. Dick Vermeil didn't do it.
He was in reverse too, right?
Mike Holmgren didn't do it.
Yeah.
John Fox, who's not really a part of this list. I mean, he's not bad, but that's the other five. Reeves probably would be fifth. Maybe, I don't know, Vermeil fourth. Holmgren third. And then Parcells and Shula. Shula one and Parcells two. No one has ever won a Super Bowl with one team in the NFL, gone to another team, and won it. That's just something. That doesn't mean anything. But then again, what do we say about trends? Yeah, eventually they're broken. Eventually, the Cubs won the World Series. The Red Sox won it before them. Eventually, a lot of things happen, right? Yeah. Nobody had ever beaten the number one seed. Well, that happened, too.
Well, in college football, nobody had ever won a national championship with someone and then gone somewhere else. And now, two different guys have done it with Urban Meyer and Nick Saban. So,
yeah, so Jason Garrett now, I haven't really seen his name attached to anywhere. One of the things you were hoping for, perhaps, if you were a Giants, a Baylor fan, would be that Jason Garrett might get hooked into New York or that Josh McDaniels is hooked into New York because that seems to be the one that makes the most sense. I will tell you, there is nervous energy on the campus at Baylor about this situation compared to a year ago. And the good news is this should not take long in one way or the other, good or bad.
Well, and look, the Cowboys have put the Giants in an interesting position because they hired away one of their candidates. So, again, even if Mike McCarthy wasn't their first choice, the Giants need to react. There's three jobs open, the Panthers, Browns, and Giants right now. And you would figure those, you know, all those pieces will fall into place sometime this week, and we'll see.
All right. Now, Jason Garrett made $38.2 million in his nearly decade as a head coach of the Cowboys. Wow. His overall record was good. He won the division title enough. He just never really was successful in the postseason. He's a name that no matter what, even though he had big wins along the way, did he ever win at what seemed like a major game, postseason game against somebody else that was a coach that you thought was better than him?
No, never.
They beat Philadelphia twice?
Mm-hmm.
No, they beat Philadelphia then Seattle.
Yeah.
Is that right? In the playoffs?
So I guess Pete Carroll, yeah, but never in the... never in the division, like the divisional round, they never beat anybody. Won some wild card games, but never in the divisional round.
How much will Mike McCarthy change the roster? How much does he have in decision making, or how much is this? No matter his offensive mind, it all sounds cute. It's kind of cute today. It's happy today, but in the end, does the culture and the core, the cancerous core of the Cowboys, change?
No, I mean, what changes?
Is Mike McCarthy in charge of personnel?
No.
Is Mike McCarthy being told who should be on his staff, or at least you need to keep an X amount of guys?
That remains to be seen, but I would say probably.
Because, Paul, if in fact he was someone the Giants wanted to discuss a job with, or whoever else, then if that's the case, if he wants to run his own franchise, now he may look at Dak and Cooper if they re-sign him, and then Zeke and all the other bells and whistles. But has anything really changed? Is this Jerry said things were going to change. He's learning from this. Did anything really change? Marvin Lewis, that never took seriously.
No.
It makes you wonder, and I hope this is not the case, but it appears as if it's exactly what it was, is by interviewing Marvin Lewis, they could pick his brain. He was pretty successful in certain ways with the Bengals, no different than Garrett with the Cowboys, but he was a Rooney Rule interview.
Mm-hmm.
He's a black man. Marvin Lewis deserves better than that.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's looking for a job too, so of course, you never know, something might click. That's all he was, and that's kind of sickening.
Yeah, and the thing is if you were going to make it look like Marvin Lewis wasn't just a Rooney Rule interview, you should have interviewed four or five people, including probably, a couple other guys.
Rooney Rule doesn't mean you just have to have one token black candidate. It means you're supposed to go out and find the best people, and check the box. We got to check the box. We got a black coach.
Yeah,
we've interviewed Marvin Lewis. Doesn't that seem really like disgusting?
Yeah, that's not what the spirit of the rule is.
In some cases, the Rooney Rule has worked,
mm-hmm.
And in some cases, there's always a loophole. Okay, let's interview a black guy. Makes me sick to my stomach. And maybe Marvin Lewis, I don't know, is he going to be a part of the staff with Mike McCarthy?
I doubt it. I mean, but he and Mike Nolan worked together before, so, we'll see. I think Mike Nolan's probably that his name keep getting kicked around. We'll see how that goes.
Everybody that I've seen, and this is normal, everybody will, find all of the good things that Mike McCarthy represents, and he was a good coach with Green Bay, didn't end well at the end with him. But I do think the Packers also started to struggle with some injuries, and as you mentioned, some personnel issues that came back to haunt them. Kind of like what the Patriots are dealing with this year.
It's funny how it all comes at once. It all just came at once there.
Brady almost look 50 at the end of that game, that stunned look on his face? There's no way he ever thought that it was going to end at home in a playoff game, in a wild card game against Tennessee.
No, absolutely not. But look, here's the negatives with Mike McCarthy. He let that situation, he's responsible for his part of that situation. If it's, let's just say, for the sake of fairness, it's one-third each of, Ted Thompson,
yep,
him, and Aaron Rodgers. Well, he's responsible for his third that he let get away. Now, how much of that is influenced by the other two? Okay, fine. But you're still responsible for your third.
In a relationship, if you have, and you mentioned three, if only one of the three wants it to work out, it's over.
Exactly. And so...
Now, unless that one has major brass all of the power, and then he can force the issue and go find his own people. In this case, McCarthy's the one. They're not going to fire Aaron Rodgers. Ted Thompson's gone, right?
Yeah.
Why do I want to say something happened to him?
I think he's all right, but...
God, that's an awful thought. So, Mike McCarthy's the head. All right, how do you feel about it? 254-662-1660. Cowboys fans, let's go. If you're a former Packers fan, your thoughts about Mike McCarthy? 254-662-1660.
Thompson is still there. They just have a different guy running football ops.
He's a part of the front office?
Yeah.
But he's not the general manager?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's, let me say he's still the general manager. Hold on. There's somebody else that's running football ops there.
All right, it doesn't matter. Yeah. We're discussing the Cowboys. All right, so 254-662-1660. This happened, if you think, not so quickly. It was lingering over a week after the Cowboys had lost. Well, in fact, a week after they had beaten Washington, but they were done. Right? Mm-hmm. It took forever. It seemed like it took forever. It almost ended in a weird, strange, bizarre type. Here's Mike McCarthy spending the night with Jerry, and yet Jason was still, his body wasn't cold. That doesn't sound like someone that Jerry was worried about getting rid of.
No, no.
We know we were talking about how he's too close to him, right?
But I think, again, he said too close. I think part of the reason he was close to him is Jason, it's not like Jason Garrett didn't know.
No, yeah, I know.
I mean, he wasn't sitting around the office on Thursday going, well, I can't wait for Monday to really get this offseason going.
And
I
then mean, you start to hear some things about how he was really trying to fight for his job, and that's, you wonder if that was like the Cowboys leaking that out just because they, I don't know. The bottom line is thank God that's over. Not for some of you, thank God the Garrett era is over. To me, this could have lingered another week or two. It's like I'm telling you, the Giants, Matt Rhule, Baylor, that's going to be like 48 hours, you would think, one way or the other. Maybe sooner, if it drags on another half a day, maybe. Preston, good afternoon, 317 on ESPN Central Texas. Go ahead.
Hey,
yeah, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I love this hire. I don't know who said it. I read it on Twitter, but they were saying we don't really have time for growing pains if we get like a college coach or a younger coach, a Lincoln Riley. With this roster, we need somebody who's ready now. And I think Mike McCarthy he's ready. He's ready now. He's stayed ready. He's been studying. And, you know, Dak isn't Aaron Rodgers, but he's got the arm talent. He can run. You know, you don't see Aaron Rodgers diving in the end zone like you do with Dak sometimes. So I love the hire. Not sure about Mike Nolan. All I know with him is he tried to bring back suits on the sideline, if that gives you any indication of what kind of coach he is. But, yeah, I'll hang up and listen. Love the hire.
All right, thank you very much. Paul, what's Mike Nolan's role going to be?
Defensive coordinator, one
okay.
Likely.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot of Twitter buzz
is
about
that. Is he related to the late Dick Nolan?
Yeah, it's
a football family.
Because I went to ask you this when I saw this, and you'd left the building, but did you ever get cross paths with Dick Nolan when he had two stints with the Cowboys?
No, yeah, I remember under the Landry years.
And he, early on with Jimmy Johnson.
So he was there.
He was a secondary coach in 92.
By the way, I've reached out, and this is, I do this, seem like about once a year, we reach out to Matt Flynn, his father, who I saw his father and mother at the Sugar Bowl. Of course, Alvin was a quarterback at Baylor like in the late 60s. Matt Flynn played for Mike McCarthy twice. Twice. And I've reached out to him, and I don't know, he may be at work, or he might be, knowing him, he's out on some hunting lease. But if I can get a hold of him, the reason would be he played into Mike McCarthy twice, the possibility of getting a chance to visit with him about Mike McCarthy's role in his career. Matt Flynn was never a Pro Bowler, never sniffed that. He was never going to be much of a starter many places, but he played a pretty lengthy career with a lot of different people, and a lot of it, Packers actually brought him back twice.
Also, his best moment in his career happened at AT&T Stadium.
Absolutely. Never forget that moment. Armando, is that right? Good afternoon, Armando, on ESPN Central Texas. Thanks for the call.
How's it going? I think the Mike McCarthy, it could be a good hire, but my question is, did they retain the rest of their staff?
We don't know yet.
Did they retain the rest of their staff?
No, that remains to be seen. That could take days.
See, that's my question there. I just hope they don't try to bring Mike McCarthy in with their whole staff and expect miracles to happen, because, I mean, that really never works out, you know?
No, I don't.
I feel like he should have a say-so in some of his staff, you know?
Well, we know this by Dick Nolan being a part of this thing.
Mike Nolan.
That means most likely Rob Marinelli's done. That would think that perhaps Chris Richard is done. And then there might be other position coaches. I don't know. You might still see Jerry want to hold on to the Leon Letts and the Andre Garrods and all that. I don't know. That should be Mike McCarthy's decision. What does this mean for Kellen Moore?
That remains to be seen, because Mike McCarthy always called the plays in Green Bay.
Yes, he did.
So, do you keep – what is Mike McCarthy – what has this year off taught him? Did it teach him that maybe he doesn't need to call the plays?
There is no way Mike McCarthy's not going to call the plays.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine he's going to be a CEO head coach.
Yeah. So What does that mean for Kellen Moore?
Is he going to be a quarterback's coach?
Well, then what does that mean for John Kitna? Okay, and here's the thing. If you were going to keep somebody who you thought did a better job this year, you might be splitting hairs, but, you know, both those guys, you know.
You ask me?
Yeah.
I keep Kitna.
So do I.
He's played the game at a longer level. Mm-hmm. We heard all about what he was going to be, what he was for Dak. Dak mm-hmm. seemed to be comfortable with both of them. Here's what will make me nervous. Is if all of a sudden you look up and half the staff is who was there already.
Yeah, if it's Mark Colombo.
And you know, they're going to retain maybe 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about if you look up and if it's Kitna and Moore. And you got to eventually find new blood and eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things Mike McCarthy brings to the table.
And I think Chris Richard, he's already looking for new jobs. And most of the defensive staff isn't under contract. The offensive staff, it's like Jerry does this in... It's like every other year kind of a thing. So the cycle is on for the offensive staff now where they're still technically they're all under contract. And then maybe not Gary Brown, I'm not sure. But the defensive staff is all, their contracts are cycled off this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's who knows what's going to be put together. And that could actually, in a lot of ways, could even take as long as the end of the NFL playoffs. You hope not, but it could. There's maybe somebody that McCarthy would like to wait until as their season ends. Last week, who would have thought this week that the Saints would be done or the Patriots would be done? I actually picked Buffalo to win their game, and of course then they could not hold on and beat the Texans. That was another great game over the weekend. 3:23 is the time. David, thanks for your call on ESPN Central Texas.
Yes, sir. I like to hire McCarthy. You mentioned Kitna as a quarterback's coach a while ago. I disagree with that. I've noticed Dak for 2 or 3 years now. He tends to throw the ball, and he had never seemed to notice this, and maybe I'm crazy, but he tends to throw the ball behind the receiver a lot, whether they're cutting left or cutting right. I just see too many balls thrown behind him. I just like to see a different quarterback coach.
Okay, no, and I'm fine with that. David, if that happens, I'm okay with it. I'm surely not going to be the one that pieces together the staff. What I was saying is if you ended up having to pick between Kitna and Kellen Moore, my choice would be Kitna. And the only reason for that is because of experience. That doesn't mean he's a better coach than Kellen Moore. It's 3:23. Shireen Williams, Hall of Fame writer, will join us. She's coming up from Pro Football Talk. Also today, Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys at 5:30, his thoughts about the new hire. And also just kind of looking ahead and looking back on his thoughts about the Jason Garrett era as well. And Johnny Tusa, retiring athletic director and once longtime football coach in the glory years of Waco High, he'll join us in studio in just over an hour. This is ESPN Central Texas.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
Recently on You Make the Call.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just wanted to say, first of all, y'all, thank y'all for all the coverage y'all did there in New Orleans and everything else. It's a great job. I don't see how you could have done it any better. I'm always know everybody always kind of looks back and see maybe we could have done this or this, but I can't think of a thing, but I appreciate y'all doing that for everybody back here in Central Texas. But the main thing is my legacy deal for this team, heck, y'all, I mean, they're 2 years ahead of anything that I would have expected. I mean, I was hoping they'd be at this point where they're at right now, 2 years down the road. I mean, I thought maybe 7 wins, 8 wins would be really good. Anything above that was gravy on the steak. You know, so I mean, you know, their legacy is they're way ahead of where they're at, and they're in a good place to, you know, maybe take another step. You know, even if they stay status quo, exactly what they did this year, that's still going to be a heck of a season, y'all.
You make the call on ESPN Central Texas.
Since studies show more and more people use their mobile devices to conduct banking business, Community Bank and Trust is keeping pace with the latest technology. Both commercial and personal customers can make mobile deposits. With our responsive mobile app, you can complete any banking task right from your phone. With Community Bank and Trust, enjoy state-of-the-art banking. Anywhere, anytime, on any device. Member FDIC.
Boozer's is the wedding ring store and more. If you're ready to get engaged or already married and want to upgrade your wife's ring for a special anniversary, Boozer's is the place to go. With the largest selection of premier quality diamond engagement rings and wedding rings in Central Texas. They have 7 cases with over 300 styles of rings from top designers like Natalie Kay. Choose from yellow, white, or rose gold, plus beautiful top quality loose diamonds. With an in-house jewelry, they can also custom make anything you want. Bring in a picture or drawing and let Boozer's create your one-of-a-kind pendant or ring. They can even use some of your old gold and diamond jewelry to create something new. At Boozer's, you'll find a great selection of quality timepieces, and Boozer's is the place for expert watch maintenance and repairs, too. They specialize in expert Rolex watch repair using genuine Rolex parts. For fine jewelry, watches, custom work, and more, go to Boozer's on Valley Mills and Lake Air Drive in Waco.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Servicing Central Texas since 1964, Glaw Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Clifton. But they say cars like eggs, they're cheaper in the country. Jason Garrett was officially announced that he will not return as the head coach of the Cowboys on Sunday. And Dallas already has their man in former Packers head coach Mike McCarthy, who won Super Bowl 45 with the Packers, an overall career record of 125-77-1. McCarthy's teams made the playoffs 9 of his 13 seasons in Green Bay. In addition to the Super Bowl season, the Packers made it to the NFC title game 2 times. In the latest AP and coaches poll, the Baylor men up 2 spots to number 4. The Bears have back-to-back road games this week at number 21 Texas Tech on Tuesday and at number 3 Kansas on Saturday.
SportsCenter every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
3:28 is the time. 5:30 voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham. Right now, Hall of Fame writer Shereen Williams, Pro Football Talk, joins us on ESPN Central Texas. Paul Catalina, I'm David Smoke. Shereen, did they get it right in Dallas?
Well, I know we wanted somebody with experience and preferably with Super Bowl experience, and they got that, and they did it without giving up a draft pick, which is what you would have had to do for any other coach who you could have gotten who has Super Bowl experience. So, from that standpoint, I think it was a good hire. I think it's a safer hire than going after a college coach. And Jerry had made it quite clear he wasn't going to hire a college coach. I just don't think he had time to do that, to let that coach develop, considering he's 77 years old and thinks he has a roster now that can win a Super Bowl. So for all those things, looking for a veteran coach who has Super Bowl experience, actually won the game in Arlington at AT&T Stadium, I think he fits the Cowboys. It fits what they want.
What are the negatives that McCarthy would bring?
Well, you know, I do think there are questions about his ability to win without Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And Dak Prescott isn't that. And so he's going to have to adapt and adjust without probably a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's too early in Dak's career to say that one way or the other. But we know that Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers are. And they've been Hall of Famers. Aaron Rodgers has been a Hall of Famer for a while now and will be 5 years after he retires a first ballot Hall of Famer. So I think that's kind of, to me, the unknown about it is how is he going to adapt and adjust with Dak Prescott as his quarterback, first of all. And then second of all, obviously he didn't have very good defenses most of the time in Green Bay. So we know who the defensive coordinator is going to be. It's going to be Mike Nolan. They're going to stick with the 4-3 defense from what everyone said, which based on what their roster is, I said before even the hire, they had to do that just because they paid DeMarcus Lawrence all this money and they kind of have built for a 4-3 defense. But they've got to be better on defense than what they were this season. They've got to be better on defense than what Mike McCarthy had in Green Bay for most of his tenure there.
Shereen, is this still going to be one of those things, and have you heard anything about, he brought in Nolan as the defensive coordinator. I would think that means Marinelli's gone. Perhaps Chris Richard is gone. But there's still a bloodline of former Cowboys players that are on this coaching staff, even in some of them are minimal roles, or even Mark Colombo. Is McCarthy going to be able to have his own people, or is he being forced to retain a few?
Well, he's going to retain some of them, and I know Chris Richard is a possibility to stay as secondary coach. And defensive passing game coordinator. That's a possibility. And Kellen Moore's a possibility to stay as offensive coordinator. Although if I'm Kellen Moore, I don't know why I want to stay if Mike McCarthy's going to call the plays. And we all presume that he is going to call the plays because that's what he did in Green Bay. So if you're Kellen Moore and you want to call plays, you're probably going to go to a place like the University of Washington where you can continue to hone your skills and become a better play caller. So I don't know that he's going to stay, but I do think that Jerry Jones is going to dictate some of the coaches on the staff. I do believe that's going to happen, and I think that was probably part of the discussions, and I think that's part of what led to Mike McCarthy getting this job is he was okay with that. He was okay with some of these coaches staying. And I don't know if that's a bad thing. They had some really good coaches on this staff who did a good job for a long time. On the other hand, you always like the head coach to be comfortable with his staff and be able to hire his own staff.
How much do you think of the things that happened at the end of the Green Bay tenure were Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson in the roster, and then Aaron Rodgers' personality conflict was the thing that was kind of the last straw. But how much of that does McCarthy have to shoulder?
Yeah, he's got to shoulder some of it, obviously. But there always just becomes a point in most relationships in the NFL when it hits an end. And I think that one had just hit the dead end. There aren't very many Tom Landrys anymore. And obviously Jerry Jones thought he had found his Tom Landry and Jason Garrett. It didn't work out. And that's what these things tend to do in the NFL. They fall apart after a certain period of time. And I think that relationship in Green Bay had fallen apart in many ways. And it was time for Mike McCarthy to go. And now he gets a new start in Dallas and has a chance based on the roster to win right away. There's no question about that. And based on what else we know is going on in the NFC East, who they have to play and what we've seen from this year. They have a chance to win right away with this team and this roster.
Shireen, you mentioned Washington with Ron Rivera, Philadelphia with Doug Peterson. Matt Rhule is at least someone who's on the table. The Giants are looking at talking with him at some point, although he was in Cabo just like 2 or 3 hours ago. And then maybe Josh McDaniels. Is there a chance the NFC East in a matter of perhaps a couple of weeks becomes a lot better, although they still have to prove it?
Yeah, no question about that. We're seeing the turnover. And frankly, you're seeing the young quarterbacks. I mean, look at the four quarterbacks that you have starting now. You know, Dak's probably the most groomed and experienced and has had the most playoff success of any of those four quarterbacks who are going to be starting for their teams, presumably, next year. So, yeah, I think we're seeing a big changing of the guard here in the NFC East with both the head coaches and with the quarterbacks. I mean, Doug Peterson hasn't been at Philadelphia that long, obviously, but he's now the most experienced head coach in this division. So, yeah, we're starting to see change in this division, and the division can get better in a hurry based on how those quarterbacks play and how those coaches do with their new team.
What do you think that this hire does for some of the free agents they have on the roster? I mean, Dak and Amari, we assume, you know, that's probably going to be done deals. But Byron Jones, you know, all those things, what do you think that does for that?
Well, I think Randall Cobb, you look at and you go, yeah, he's probably coming back now because he was at Green Bay with Mike McCarthy. So I think that's one you immediately look at and say he's probably coming back as your slot receiver. I mean, they have a good relationship, I think. But Byron Jones, I don't know if they're going to be able to afford Byron Jones. You know, he may get bigger money elsewhere. I don't know if they want to retain Byron Jones. That's something they're going to have to answer. They do need to upgrade at the cornerback position, and especially at safety and in the defensive line. And they got a lot of those free agents in the defensive line, from Robert Quinn to Michael Bennett and Malik Collins. There's tons of free agents in that defensive line, and the defensive line probably is the biggest priority for this team moving forward in free agency and in the draft.
Is Mike McCarthy in any way known as a no-nonsense type of guy?
Yeah, I think Brett Favre said it on Sirius today. He's really hard-nosed, and he'll be able to handle things in Dallas. It is a different job atmosphere, as we all know. So, yeah, I think he's going to bring discipline and all of those things that you look for that you want in your head coach. I think that's what he's going to bring, and that's what he does, and that's what he's good at. So from that standpoint, I think it was a really good hire.
Shireen Williams, a Hall of Fame writer with ProFootballTalk.com. Okay, obviously, I traded a couple of text messages, Matt Rhule. There was a report that the Carolina owner was in town in Texas to interview, or interviewing, as if it was going on at the moment, and yet he was still in Cabo. We're not naive. We understand the interest with what is Matt Rhule. I still of the belief, no matter what most people are telling me, that he's gone. I still have a good feeling he's going to come back for Baylor, and if I'm wrong, as long as he's happy, that's all that matters to me. Your thoughts about what makes this year even more of a demand than a year ago? Was it the 11-3 team, the team that played for the Big 12 title, just one more year of him proving what he can do when he's the head coach?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. And I also think it's the fact that it's the Giants is one of the teams looking at him where he has something of a relationship there. I know it was a year and a short year, but nonetheless, he does have something of a relationship there with those people. And I think that helps. But yeah, the year he had and kept building on what they had done over the last 2 years. And I think people just really respect what he's been able to go in there and do. I don't know if there's another head coach that would have been able to do as good of a job, forget doing a better job, as good of a job as Matt Rhule did. It was miraculous, really, what he's been able to do there. So I think that's what has made him into a huge candidate in NFL circles. And if he does return, as you say, which wouldn't surprise me, they're going to come back at him next year and the year after that, too. And so he's going to have to keep turning down these opportunities to get into the NFL, to stay at Baylor, because he's going to be a wanted commodity in the NFL as well as at Baylor.
And that's exactly what he said. He said that to us on Monday, that, listen, this is going to happen again next year. So, Paul, you had one more question?
Yeah, Shireen, if you had to put money on it, what's Tom Brady doing next year?
Oh, I think he's back with New England. I don't think they're going to let him walk away. It's not like they have Jimmy Garoppolo sitting behind him ready to take the reins, and they're convinced that Jimmy Garoppolo's the answer there. I just don't know that they're convinced that their backup quarterback is ready to take that job. So I think they bring him back, and I think they build on that roster and give him some more weapons. He really missed Rob Gronkowski, and they need to get better at the receiver position. And, you know, all those receivers that they signed, Josh Gordon, Antonio Brown, all those guys just didn't work out for them this year, so they need to improve the receiver position. But I do expect him to be back in New England. We'll be surprised if he is going to play, and I'll be surprised if he ends up playing somewhere else.
Shireen, thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
That's Shireen Williams from the Pro Football Talk.com, many years a part of the Star Telegram. Great football writer, tremendous, great Aggie. Also very much involved in every networking you can imagine when it comes to sources in the National Football League. Johnny Tusa in studio today at 4:30. I've already had a couple of former players that are going to jump in and call in. This is not him retiring from football like he did a few years back. That was a big deal. This is him retiring as the athletic director when he came back to the school district. I know he's still going to do some work with the American Football Coaches Association, so that's good because he was a part of that in between football and then AD. I think Johnny Tusa is going to be pretty available, but at the same time, it's kind of good to have him in studio. Brad Sham today at 5:30. When we come back, we'll discuss more, if you want, Mike McCarthy, Cowboys head coach. Number two, the NFL weekend of what was and what is about to be. That's next on ESPN Central Texas.
This is Susan Kelly, and I want to congratulate Baylor's football team for its amazing performance this season. Since attending Baylor and later its law school, I've been dedicated to this community as a citizen and as a lawyer. If elected to the 19th District Court, I will continue this dedication, serving with honor and integrity. Early voting starts February 18th, and I ask for your vote. Happy New Year and justice for all.
This ad paid for by the Susan Kelly for District Judge campaign, Nancy Lacey, Treasurer.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley. We're brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's the December Employee Pricing for Everyone event with our best year-end deals. Come see the difference that so many of our friends have raved about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerchevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Sick 'em, Bears!
Hello, this is Hatch Bailey, president of Wilkerson Hatch Bailey Funeral Home in Waco with funerals and cremations. We want to wish you safe, healthy, happy holidays, and New Year.
Wilkerson Hatch Bailey Funeral Home wants to congratulate the Fighting Green and Gold on a great season and are looking forward to the 2020 season. Wilkerson Hatch Bailey Funeral Home are so proud of the good old green and gold.
Lockridge Priest, your go-to for air conditioning or HVAC, if you want to get fancy about it. Plumbing, electrical, they can take care of it, home or business. Just go to their website, LockridgePriest.com, and you know, click on the appropriate location that you need to go, whether it's home or business, and they can set it up. They've got 24-hour service, so that means, you know, look, I know my heater was on at one point last night, and my air conditioning will probably be was on at some point yesterday afternoon. That's the kind of year we're having. Maybe you have an older system that just tanks out on you, and you need somebody to come and look at it. You don't want to sit too long without proper ventilation in your home. This is Texas. It's nuts. You need to be warm or you need to be cold. There's never really that much in between, as you all know. Or say you've got a plumbing disaster. They help me with tree roots in my pipes, which, again, I would wish it on my worst enemy, but not my second worst enemy. My second worst enemy, that was just an ordeal. And Lockridge Priest was great. Chris was my plumber. He did a fantastic job. Every single day they had to be there, it was a long, long, arduous process, but he got it done, and now everything is going great. So check him out online, LockridgePriest.com, or for 24-hour service, just give him a call, 1-844-909-0489.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realize it. It's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy 5 times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Paul Catalina with your ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Servicing Central Texas since 1964, Glaw Ford, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Clifton. But they say cars like eggs, they're cheaper in the country. Jason Garrett was officially announced that he will not return as the head coach of the Cowboys on Sunday. And Dallas already has their man and former Packers head coach Mike McCarthy, who won Super Bowl 45 with the Packers, an overall career record of 125-77-1. McCarthy's teams made the playoffs 9 of his 13 seasons in Green Bay. In addition to the Super Bowl season, the Packers made it to the NFC title game 2 times. In the latest AP and coaches poll, the Baylor men up 2 spots to number 4. The Bears have back-to-back road games this week at number 21 Texas Tech on Tuesday and at number 3 Kansas on Saturday.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services.
Garrett, you tell me what this means to you specifically, and tell me what it means to you.
Okay.
Panthers owner David Tepper in Texas today interviewing Baylor head coach Matt Rhule.
I don't know if I feed into that too much.
What does that mean time-wise? Of what the words that were used, what does that mean? That the interview is they're interviewing?
Yeah, that it's been done. It seems like it's current.
Yeah. He was in Mexico.
I think the thing that caught me, that made me pay the most attention to this whole Matt Rhule New York situation was, I don't really buy into what a lot of people say, but when I seen Gil Brandt's tweet
about 3 or 4 days ago.
Yeah, the one where he was like, "I'm
9:06 p.m. Montana time."
Exactly.
Yep.
When I seen that, I was like, "Okay, if he's saying this, there might be something to it."
I agree. That was someone when I. It's kind of like remember the old commercial when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
Yeah.
That's kind of when Gil Brandt says something. That was on like Friday.
Well, and Gil Brandt is a huge Matt Rhule fan. Mm-hmm. And an advocate. So much so that three different times he's stopped me at Cowboys games and said, "Hey, you tell next time you see Matt, you tell him how much I tell him to give me a call. Tell him how much I like him. You know how great he is." He's like, "That's one of the best coaches there is." So again, if Gil Brandt's sitting around, you know, if Gil Brandt and Dave Gettleman are sitting around eating lunch together 2 months ago, mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah.
You never know, you know. That's how those things go. I'm not saying that did happen, but Gil Brandt, when asked about Matt Rhule, is only going to give him straight A's on his report card.
High school football note, one quick note. This is one of many. Hubbard's Russell Anderson is leaving. He told his staff today, the school's out today, so that means he's not going to be able to discuss anything with his players until tomorrow. But he told me I could run with this. 30 years as a coach, 18 as head coach, Hubbard, Kearns, and Wortham. He overcame cancer. He was battling cancer when he was at Kearns. He's fine. He's clean. He's healthy. His son coaches, I think he told me, at Athens. Was it Athens? I think that's the school he told me. So he's going to give. I got a feeling there's still a chance that you'll see him in about a year somewhere else. Maybe a retire, stay out a year, come back and rehire. He's been through three superintendents in 5 years. Sometimes that can be a little bit tough. That doesn't mean they're all bad or any of them bad. He didn't say that, but three superintendents in 5 years, that's kind of, you think coaching changes happen a lot, so do things at the administrative level. Now, what was the biggest surprise this weekend in the NFL? Was it the Titans beating the Patriots? Was it, Minnesota beating New Orleans?
I think probably for me it was Kirk Cousins actually showing up in a clutch moment and dropping
better than that. He's not a bad quarterback.
No, but that throw he had at Thielen.
It's phenomenal.
Oh my God. Man. Yeah, that was that was the ender right there.
Yeah, I do think that in spite of everything that happened to the Patriots this year, and I said this last week when we made our picks, the fact that Ryan Tannehill went head-to-head with Tom Brady in a playoff game, and granted, Tannehill was not a huge part of that game. It was all about Derrick Henry on offense for the Titans. But the fact that Tom Brady is at home and Ryan Tannehill is going to play another week just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's interesting. And we're so it's two or three things that we do as fans, maybe media, I don't know. A team wins a championship and we don't even let the trophy get warm or even like put up in the case, and we're already finding out, you know, can they repeat? And then it also happens with this. There was a time in the Patriots' run, and I don't remember the exact years, but I want to think like 08, 09, and 10. They didn't win a playoff game. One year they didn't make the playoffs. Matt Castle was came in. They 11-5, but didn't make the playoffs. Did they not make the playoffs?
They didn't make it with Matt Castle, yeah.
But.
And he got a big deal out of that.
The next 2 years, I think they may have lost their first playoff game, which is the last time that happened until on Saturday. It's like we want to like put dynasties to bed. Now, they're not the same. This could be the fading of the – they just won it last year.
Yeah, and I don't think – of all the things that said, you know, Tom Brady, you know, didn't have his best game, but all year long, he hasn't had – like, this is the worst roster he's had around him on offense ever.
But I also think that Tom Brady
– and he's 42. Starts on 42. They need – like – As a 42-year-old quarterback, they have not built a roster around him enough to make it to where he doesn't look like a 42-year-old quarterback.
Still throws the ball pretty well. Mm-hmm. We're not trying to say he throws it like he did 5 or 6 years ago. That's impossible. But they just won the Super Bowl in February. And less than a year later, we're wanting to kick them to the curb. They're done. Now, Buffalo's an up-and-coming program. A franchise, they're obviously very good. I don't know. I want to just see. Sometimes this can actually not reinvigorate you. You can't be reinvigorated by getting beaten at home in the first round of the playoffs. When they lost to Miami the week before, that would have been a first round bye win. That was a terrible sign for me. Mm-hmm. I was not surprised by what happened. But the Vikings, I've said, have as talented a roster as anybody in the playoffs. But I still didn't think they'd go into New Orleans and win. And they did. And they did. So why isn't this the end for Drew Brees? If it's the end for Tom Brady, why is it not the end for Drew Brees? Is it what kind of...
And Phillip Rivers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think with Brees, you might give him the... the benefit of the doubt simply because it's in a dome and he doesn't really have to deal with weather elements and stuff. Maybe that to me, that plays into it.
He had the most prolific receiver in the history of football in 1 year in Michael Thomas. Yeah. Alvin Kamara's running back. Mm-hmm. Pretty good offense. Very good defense.
Mm-hmm. They lost yesterday.
And they got beat yesterday at home. Same thing. Mm-hmm. The number 5 and 6 seeds advance in the AFC. The number 5 seed, Seattle, mm-hmm. advanced in the NFC. Right? Mm-hmm. And I thought, God, poor Carson Wentz. Never was a part of a playoff, and then he finally gets him there, and he gets hurt. And I know that the simple thing would be he's so injury prone. You know what could happen next year? That Dak Prescott can become injury prone, even though he's been very much the opposite. Mm-hmm. It just kind of happens. Josh McCown is 40. Mm-hmm. I've known him since he was about 16 years old. He's came back from coaching high school because the Eagles needed a backup, a veteran mm-hmm. influence. He was in no way, shape, or form expected to play yesterday. He almost, God bless him. He almost brought him back. Mm-hmm. 40. He'd been a part of 2 playoff games, or was that his first ever playoff game as a quarterback?
So that was his first one.
He's been a part of several teams. What? Carolina?
That was the first time he played in a playoff game. Yeah.
He's 40. He's been playing for, what, 20, 19, 18 years. And I thought, considering he was getting sacked left and right, there was a couple of times he just wasn't quite quick enough to get loose, and he's 40. You want to hear emotions from a football player who most likely just played his last game in what was his first ever playoff game.
My wife and my family have moved around a lot and been a lot and been there for me, and so and mom and dad and so to go out there and get to play in a playoff game was special, and I can't thank them enough for their support, and it was a heck of a ride. I left it all out there, I know that much. It's different playing at 40. So your body talks to you a lot.
The computer froze up a little bit. That was from somebody that covers obviously Philadelphia. He played a long, long time. He ended up being, he was not just a perennial backup. He spent a lot of his career as a backup, but he did start. Was it the Bears? He was on the Bears as well.
Yeah.
So he's been around a lot of different teams. And this was one of those things at the last second. They say, hey, was he on the team last year or was he retired?
He was.
Partially?
He had retired going into this year.
Oh, yeah.
And he was coaching a high school team in New Jersey. And he would, because he was the backup quarterback and he wasn't getting a lot of reps, he would coach the high school team a couple days a week and then he would go do Eagles things other days.
I thought, considering the circumstances, having an enormous amount of pressure on him from Seattle's front, that I thought he couldn't have played any better than he did, not mm-hmm. just because he's 40, because of everything. And they had the ball near that late in the game for a chance. He got sacked. One hell of an effort, I thought. His mom, Robin, his father, Pat, great people. And, man, you talk about a family that has always been just really special out of Jacksonville, Texas, and you could hear his emotions of that situation.
And Luke retired last year, right?
Yeah.
So that's the end of it.
Yeah, that's it. And there might be some little ankle biters coming along.
You know what's funny is the most highly touted of them coming out of high school was probably their brother Randy. Really? I mean, he had the...
I watched all of them, and I'm not... He was very successful. Different era. Different type of quarterback. Mm-hmm. Obviously more of a runner, threw the ball okay. Josh was highly recruited, but Luke had some blank in his neck too.
Well, and Luke went to Louis, like I said, I'm just saying this because wasn't Josh SFA, right?
No, Josh went to he went to SMU.
SMU, okay, yeah.
And then transferred to Sam Houston State.
Yeah, and then
Luke went straight to Louisiana Tech. But Louisiana Tech for quarterbacks is not a bad place to go, at least back in the day. I don't know about now. But, yeah, Randy went to a much bigger school than all of them. We went to A&M and did well. In fact, it was him. He got hurt, right? When they brought in
Brandon Stewart
to win against
Kansas State,
Kansas State in 1998. So that's Josh McCallum.
Years old. Yeah, I always did feel bad for Randy's last college game was the Alamo Bowl against Penn State and LeVar Arrington and Courtney Brown. That's not a great day.
I feel sorry for anyone who had to play against him. Wade Phillips helped win a Super Bowl for the Rams. Just what? Not win a Super Bowl, but take him to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, just last year.
Won it with Denver. Head coach of the Cowboys. He's put up on Twitter, "I have been informed by the Rams my contract will not be renewed. I want to thank them for the opportunity of the success of the last 3 years. Most of all, I want to thank the players who love working with. I still want to coach. I feel I can continue. I can contribute." This guy knows defense. What Wade Phillips does is a quick fix artist. Whoever needs quick fix defensively, hire him. Now, some of the things that happens after a while is things get loose. Not just when he was a head coach with Dallas, but things get loose. But the guy knows defense.
Yeah, he does. That's the guy. If you want a guy for 3 years, you're about ready to take to the next level. Wade Phillips is your guy, but he is not eventually, because he's not the big accountability guy. He's Uncle Wade. You know, that's what he is. So
doesn't have to be as much when he's a coordinator as much as he was when he had coach.
It still happens though when you're in charge of guys and meetings and all that stuff. So,
All right, here are some nuggets that Garrett gave us that I want to start the 4 o'clock hour with, including Mike McCarthy, some records against teams in the NFC East, and a couple of other notes compared to Jason Garrett. Mike McCarthy is the new head coach of the Cowboys. We'll discuss that. Also, Brad Sham at 5:30 and AD for the last day. Johnny Tusa, the great from Waco High and Waco ISD, will join us in studio at 4:30.
StarTex Propane, for all your propane and propane accessories in 20 counties with service to residential and commercial customers for over 45 years and is one of the largest independently owned propane companies in Texas. Refill your propane tank, stop by, or have it delivered. If you're tailgating, hunting, fishing, and camping, thank StarTex Propane. Looking for barbecue grills, outdoor kitchen, turkey cookers, space heaters, how about cast iron pots, pans, and more? StarTex Propane has everything you need. Check them out online, StarTexPropane.com, Facebook, or 752-6571.
Hi, this is Bambi Eskew from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. Holland American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present On Stage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company, Holland American Line. On Stage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation, Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. On Stage Alaska, call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's a December employee pricing for everyone event at Jim Turner Chevrolet. Stop in today or visit us online at turnerchevy.com for the best year-end deal on your new Chevrolet.
It takes time to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sport. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And Brad Hill, your Edward Jones financial advisor, can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort you desire, stop by today for a financial review. Brad Hill, 8810 Woodway Drive in Waco, 254-301-7080. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Visit Balcones Whiskey Distillery Tasting Room and Gift Shop, located in downtown Waco. Grab some friends and enjoy whiskey flights, refreshing cocktails, gift shopping, distillery tours, and special events. Sign up for one of their 10 weekly tours offered Tuesday through Saturday. Check their website, balconesdistilling.com/visit, for available times and book your spot today. Tours are $15 a person and include a tasting. Always distilled to appreciate. Balcones is located downtown on the corner of Franklin and 11th, open Tuesday through Sunday.
Have you been tagged yet again in an engagement ring photo? Are hints being dropped all around you?
Rest assured, D'Amore Fine Jewelers has been rescuing men seeking the perfect ring for over 25 years. Come in with a picture of her dream ring and we'll make it a reality. With our 5-year financing, custom design team, and selection of diamonds, we'll make the whole process fun and enjoyable. D'Amore Fine Jewelers on West Waco Drive.
Don Chumidor has among the best top-rated cigars, not in the country, but the world, inside their 48-foot walk-in humidor. Rocky Patel, Padron, Ashton, Monte Cristo, Romeo and Julieta, Artur Fuente. If you want a cigar, no matter if it's harsh or something light, Churchill length or smaller, Don Chumidor is where you go. And ask for Carol and Ashley, two ladies that will greet you with a smile and great intelligence and knowledge in the cigar business. Don Chumidor in the Townwood Shopping Center off Valley Mills in Waco.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas. The 4 o'clock hour of You Make the Call is brought to you by McAdams and Sons Roofing.
Here we go. 4 o'clock hour. Looking forward to Johnny Tusa in studio. I just received a text from a couple of coaches that went against him when he was at Waco High. The coaching career has been over for a while, but it's still interesting to get some of that. And then also Tom Barfield sent me a note. And we're going to hear from a couple of former players that will join us as well. Johnny will join us in studio today at 4:30. Tua Tagovailoa. God, if I could only pronounce the Navy head coach's last name. But that took a while for me to...
Talamolo.
All right, him too. Tua is now turning pro. Had the injury at the end of last year, at the end of this past season. He jumped on the scene by leading Alabama to win the national title against Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts then, the next year, helped them come back to beat, was it Georgia in the SEC championship game?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Clemson hammered Alabama a year ago. Tua was, I would think, he and Trevor Lawrence, the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. And yet another year where that wasn't the case. He got hurt, but he's turning pro. Lee Steinberg, who's mm-hmm. now back to getting a lot of the elite quarterbacks, will represent him. We know Lee. We know his son. In fact, his son reached out to me and asked me about Radio Row at the Super Bowl, which is in Miami this year.
You say, we want two or no one.
Yeah. All right, so congratulations to Tua. He had the hip issue, hip injury.
Yeah.
He can't resume any athletic activity until mid-February, will not be able to throw until sometime in the spring. So he's out for the combine. He's not going to be able to obviously play in any kind of bowl game or any kind of athletic, like, all-star game. But top 10 pick?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you don't.
Any concerns about damaged goods?
I am. I'm fully concerned. If I'm a team, I'm fully concerned going into that.
What would you rather have? Someone coming off an... I mean, was it a dislocated hip?
Yeah, yeah. I'd rather have someone coming off an ACL.
You would?
Yeah. I really would. I mean, there's... You know, there's not a lot of, like... There's not... You know, the last... Of course, it's not like you hear it all that time, but the one dislocated hip I remember, and of course, it went bad, was Bo Jackson.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so the number one quarterback in the draft is going to be Burrow. Who's two? Tua?
Maybe. Tua, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Justin Herbert's going to be in that mix.
There are some guys from Alabama that are all coming back. Dylan Moses, Alec Leatherwood, Devontae Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But they do lose Judy, who could be a top five pick, the wide receiver, and Jedrick Wills Jr., mm-hmm. an offensive lineman.
And Henry Ruggs is probably going pro as well, and he is the speed burner that they have. This is the best set of wide receivers Alabama's ever had.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it didn't work out for them.
And it's becoming wide receiver U. When you talk about Julio Jones and Amari Cooper and Calvin Ridley and all the guys that are coming out, they're stacking them up.
When I make a comment or when I use the term, he or she has a lot of blank in their neck,
mm-hmm.
can you say the word, Garrett, on the air?
No.
I'm not going to say it.
Well, I was going to ask you.
No. Okay, then no.
Okay, so this, I've never had anybody ask me this before. This is from Eddie. Question. I actually thought this was a spam email. Then I read it. No, it's serious. Please finish this phrase that you use but cannot complete on the air. That guy has blank in his neck. I know it's something you cannot use on the radio, but for the life of me, I don't know what the blank word is. This has been driving me crazy trying to figure out each time you use it. Eddie Generals, play with honor. I sent him back an email in capital letters. He has, or she has, blank in their neck. is a compliment. It means that he or she are tough as nails, fearless, scrappy, run through a brick wall to make a play for his or her team. And it's just a term that I remember Coach, when I was growing up, used that. It's kind of like, you know, you got to have a couple of turds on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, different way to spell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mike McCarthy against the NFC East when he was a coach of the Packers. He was 7-3 against the Cowboys. How much does that play into this decision?
Oh, I think a lot. Yeah. I think a lot. This as soon as the first thing I saw when I saw the tweet this morning was, this is a, if you can't beat them, join them, or get them to join you kind of a thing.
Giants 5-4, Philly 5-2, Washington 3-3.
Wouldn't you say the two most painful losses of the Cowboys' last are those Aaron Rodgers games?
There's no catch,
yeah.
Catch.
Yeah.
And, or catch, no catch. And then the Jared Cook,
yeah,
catch. And then the field goal by Mason Crosby.
Yeah.
From 100 feet, 1,000 yards away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's two of the probably.
I mean, especially recently. And you would think that when you're Jerry Jones, you got to think if Aaron Rodgers doesn't exist on planet Earth, your fortunes are probably a lot different. But he does. And Mike McCarthy is responsible for that. I think it's funny that the negative thing I've seen about Mike McCarthy is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers was calling the plays and McCarthy had lost his grip. So Aaron Rodgers didn't need Mike McCarthy. Well, that's bogus because when Aaron Rodgers was a young quarterback, there was a guy who developed him into the superstar legend that he is, and that guy was Mike McCarthy. Now, can he do that again is the question.
So the thing about Aaron Rodgers calling his own plays, those days are rare if not gone. You're telling me that his current coach at Green Bay wasn't brought in because he's an offensive mind?
He absolutely was.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's interesting. He was 7-3 against Dallas, 5-4 against the Giants, 5-2 against the Eagles. The good news for me is he was only 3-3 against the Redskins.
Yeah,
there's hope, Garrett.
I know, especially with Ron Rivera and that new regime.
There's absolutely hope. Now, he only had 1 year, 2018, his last year. They had less than 5 wins. He was 4-7-1 before he was fired. Now, Paul, concern here. His last 2 years in Green Bay, he was 7-9. And 4-7-1.
Well, in the 7-9 year, Aaron Rodgers like broke his leg and was out for most of it. And then the 4-7-1 year, everybody knows what happened. So yeah, there's some concern, but again, he wouldn't. If things had gone well, he wouldn't be available.
In fact, Jason Garrett had any of these stats under his 85-67 record, he was 39-21 against the East. There's no question he owned, and the Cowboys did, their own division. And it's kind of weird because even then, it just nothing ever really came of it. But it was better than having the opposite. He was 11-9 against Philadelphia, Garrett was. 14-6 against Washington and New York. And I can't remember any of the six. Now, here's the problem.
A lot of the six for New York were early on when Eli used to kind of roll into Dallas and have big games.
If this stat line, the Super Bowl, take away that, because Garrett was never even at the point where they played for an NFC championship, much less even getting to the game before that, but like once or twice. Mike McCarthy and the Packers played in 3 NFC championships. If, in fact, Jason Garrett, in any of his 10 years, not as much early as any time, had taken the Cowboys to an NFC championship, where would he be today?
Head coach of the Cowboys.
In his office at the Star?
Exactly. McCarthy's done that 3 times. Now, he won the Super Bowl. He lost in the championship game twice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember who they lost to.
I think Seattle got them once, didn't they?
Probably. Yeah. That makes sense.
And maybe Atlanta? Let me look at that.
Atlanta, New York, New Orleans, I don't know. He played, he coached, he was the head coach in 3 NFC championship games. Am I right? Are you right? Are we right in saying that if Jason Garrett, in his 10 years as head coach of the Cowboys, could have just had 1 NFC championship game appearance and lost 30-7, he would still be the head coach of the Cowboys? Because wasn't that like, that was the thing that was missing?
Yes, that's what was missing.
Jason Garrett, by the way.
Okay, he lost to the Giants in 07.
The year they went and upset the unbeaten Patriots.
Yes, and he lost to the Seahawks in 14, and he lost to the Falcons in 16.
Okay. In the championship game?
Mm-hmm.
So he's 1-3 in the championship game. Okay. It says 3 championship games here. Well, one Super Bowl. That's the one he won. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Jason Garrett in the playoffs lost twice to McCarthy.
Yeah.
He was 0-3 against the Packers. Is that right? Was that
0-3 overall.
In what?
In the playoffs that I've seen.
Jason Garrett?
No, not overall, but yeah, against them.
Okay. All right. So we lost twice to McCarthy. And, you know, Mike McCarthy's name seemed to be just someone who was off the radar. Now, I know he kind of floated back into existence the last 5 or 6, 8 months, but it seemed like he had such a bad ending that you wondered, and I even remember, it wasn't because of just Aaron Rodgers. I remember a couple of stories about him that Mike McCarthy might have been toxic, like gone. And you got to give him a lot of credit because what he did is he took his beating. He took his demotion, firing. He got fired. And a lot of people wanted Jason Garrett fired. Guess who else is going to get fired? Everybody else on staff. Mm-hmm. Husbands or wives or kids, displacement. They make a lot of money. It's part of the deal. Mm-hmm. Philip Tanner, former Cowboys running back, covered him with Dallas, is on the staff. I reached out to him on Twitter. I said, hey, can you come on with us and discuss Jason Garrett? Because he gave Philip Tanner a chance. He said, hey, I'm still employed. Mm-hmm. I will when I'm not, if that happens. But until that, I can't really say anything. It affects everybody. So Jason Garrett, do you think he'll sit out a year? He has no. This is not like Jason Garrett has a year or two left that they bought out.
Well, and look, and once we'll find out. I wonder if the Browns don't get into the Jason Garrett business because stability is kind of his thing.
Man, he could go in there and make them all that yap and yap. They could maybe dummy it down a little bit or nude it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he's a player's coach, as we know. So maybe that's not what they need, but I don't know. And again, I'm not going to put the Giants out of this. Jason Garrett's for, like, the same logic that would bring Mike McCarthy to Dallas could bring Jason Garrett to New York.
If the Giants are so focused on Matt Rhule that they're going to let Josh McDaniels or Jason Garrett not be a part of the conversation, they could be making a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not a done deal. Even though I even saw Colt Barber apparently wrote something on Sikkim 365 because a week ago, Sikkim 365 said, hey, word on the street in New Orleans is that Rhule's staying. I never got that impression it was one way or the other. So don't write anything. And that doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, but you got to be careful.
What I would say with Coach Rhule is that situation's going to have to be when, and I'm not saying if it happens, because I think it's eventually going to be when, because eventually, I mean, you're going to keep coming at him and coming at him, but when that happens, the situation he jumps to is going to have to be really, really good, top to bottom, because he has it so good right now. The money is probably going to be similar, you would think, for a first-year head coach.
It would have to be a couple of I think you're going to have to give him an extra couple of million.
Yeah.
Like maybe $8-9 million a year.
Okay. But if you're in, and here's the thing, because of the tax structure in New York, you know, I know it's still more, but, you know, you still get to keep more of your percentage dollars if you live in tech. You know, there's all these things you have to consider when you get salary, which is why you'd have to get a nice bump. But also, again, the stability from the top down, which the Giants don't really have right now. And even though the Maras and the Tishes have run a great program for a long time, a great NFL organization, they've been ridiculously impatient the last couple of coaches, in spite of the fact that they've not been realistic about their roster. To me, if I'm a head coach, the question I asked the ownership group of the Giants is, the last two guys didn't really get a chance to build this roster. And there's a lot of things that are bad about it. What changes now, where if 2 years from now, with a lot of these same guys you're going to have to keep around, because it's not like you can just do that with, you know, maybe 30 guys you want new on the Giants roster in a year, are you going to get mad again? Like, what's changed with their approach?
Mm-hmm. That's a
and
good point.
That's the question.
When he walked into Baylor, you know, there's conversations with Mac Rhodes where you do know this could take a long time.
Yeah, and so Mac Rhodes clearly was like, yeah, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. The Giants haven't, I mean, it's not like a long time ago. Like, in the very recent past,
but does it make sense it? Because Parcells had a long time. Coughlin had a excuse me, Coughlin had a long time.
But see, but they've go through those periods because between Parcells and Coughlin, there was a little gap of, you know, some of the guys. I mean, look, well, I mean, Steve Spagnuolo got him the, who was, John Fox got him the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So again, they sour on him. So they go. It's cyclical. So they.
All right. So Texans play Kansas City, and Tennessee is going to play
Baltimore.
And Green Bay is going to play against, Seattle?
Yeah.
And the 49ers will meet Minnesota.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the wild card weekend had some good games. I never really got entrenched in any of them. I was able to a little bit yesterday kind of sit down and watch more towards the end of the Vikings and Saints. I know what it was. I needed to go to an HEB on 19th Street and run like a 10-minute errand, and I came back. And the game had gone overtime.
Well, I'll tell you, Josh Allen, I've never watched a guy go from doing fantastic things to fantastically dumb things in such swing. That laterally head. And then, of course, you get into the officiating.
Doesn't change my mind of who he is.
No, no.
I think he's a really good player.
Yeah. And then you get into the officiating showed its ugly head a couple times. Mm-hmm. The officiating issues that the NFL has in that it's not that the officiating is bad. It's that. If we don't know what the rule, like the fans don't know what the rules are, and sometimes I think the officials are kind of confused on it because that blindside block they called on a guy who was looking like they were looking eye to eye.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be a pretty hard block.
Another judgment call that's brought into the league because they're petrified of themselves about mm-hmm. collisions. That was, and I'm not a guy that gets too much into officiating, that was like shockingly bad.
That's where. It doesn't need to be review, but where I think a sky judge could just get on the headset to the official in the field and go, dude, no, don't. Just pick it up.
Pick it up.
Here's the thing. If they pick it up, he can go, there was no foul for a blindside block, and that's it. Moves on. You have to explain.
And as much as you might get immediate chatter from the opposing team if you pick it up, that's gone instantly. That's it dissolves itself. But, yeah, there was a few things that just to me – And I just, again, pass interference to me. And I'm not the Mason Rudolph, not Mason Rudolph. Who's the guy from Minnesota, the big tight end?
Kyle.
Kyle Rudolph is a beast. Cowboys know all about him. That was, offensive. Let him play. Vice versa. Let him play. All right. So those are some numbers from Mike McCarthy, Jason Garrett. And isn't it amazing that the Cowboys would have just played in one NFC championship game? Lost, beaten up, obliterated. Put that on Jason Garrett's resume, and he's still the coach of the Cowboys today.
Well, there's
not this year, any year.
Yeah. What can you say about him? He hasn't won the big one? Well, who is none of the other coaches between Barry Switzer and him got him there anyway. So, again, he's doing it. It's just a matter of time.
He brought them continuity, but at the same time, he brought them continuity in a bad way, too. Mm-hmm. They were consistently in the mix for the NFC East. And then, yet again, they were just pretty much who they were every year and never were a threat. Even with the teams that kind of had some pretty good records, were they ever really a threat? They were more of a mirage of a team that was going to play in the NFC Championship game.
Do you think the NFC East being down for so long played into how long he held his position?
Yes.
Well, he had to have.
Hell yeah. I mean, his record overall is 39-21 against the teams he has to beat. He plays six of his mm-hmm. 16 games against them. Yes. No question. And if you look at it, the one team that's been pretty decent in that time, Philadelphia, he's right at about 500. And the other teams, Washington and the Giants, are a mess. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He beat the teams he should beat. Until, of course, this year with the Jets
Most of the time with the Giants and the Redskins, he didn't lose to the there's a couple of those where the bad teams jump up and got him. But look, they lost one loss to the Redskins last year. When they lost to the Redskins were playing really well.
I know. No, they were. That was before they turned it on.
That was before the Cowboys turned it on, and that was before Alex Smith's leg went to dust.
You could say it nicer than that. Like splintered.
Splintered, yes.
All right, Johnny Tusa will be in studio with us momentarily. Let's come back, Garrett, with a short segment. A couple of notes. Baylor basketball. Paul was at the game on Saturday as they dismantled Texas. It was not a pretty game, but it was on the scoreboard, and the second half chance points. Amazing. Scott Drew, 8-2 against Shaka. And now they play Texas Tech tomorrow night. And Baylor back up in the top five in basketball rankings. We'll tell you about that next on ESPN Central Texas.
At Community Bank and Trust, the term mobile community refers to all of our banking platforms. Online banking, mobile apps, mobile browser banking, even voice banking. No matter what device you're on, you'll be able to complete any banking function. We've taken customer account access and convenience to the next level with Community Bank and Trust. Enjoy state-of-the-art banking anywhere, anytime, on any device. Member FDIC.
If you want the best wings and pizza in Central Texas with an energetic atmosphere, look no further than Wings Pizza and Things in Temple, a smoke-free family environment committed to serving fresh, made-to-order food. There are dozens of large-screen, high-definition TVs to watch everything in sports, including, of course, the NFL and college football. Wings Pizza and Things serves only top-quality, large wings with 16 flavors, including their new Rim Reaper. All sandwiches come with fries, tots, or side salad, and delicious New York-style pizza. Wings Pizza and Things, celebrating 13 years strong in the Temple Town Center on the Southwest Dodging Loop in Temple.
Residential Metal Roofing, 75-plus years of great product and great customer service at Pioneer Steel and Pipe, Central Texas's largest structural steel pipe and metal building components distributor. Absolutely the best deals in town. Metal building and metal roofing, residential metal roofing, hay and equipment barns, custom metal buildings. They are specialists at what they do. They have heavy, big, bulky equipment, and guess what? They not only deliver, they will unload it for you. Structural pipe, sea purlin, angle iron, metal building supplies, customer service. You have to have it to be in business for 75-plus years, and you have to have great product, and they do. So come see the Pioneer Boys, open in both Waco and Bryan, Saturdays from 8 until noon. Pioneer Steel and Pipe, pioneerboys.com.
Myatt Fuels. You call, we haul is a high-quality fuel and lubricant distribution company based out of Clifton and West. Myatt Fuels provides our local area with a wholesale delivery of on-road diesel, off-road, farm diesel, gasoline, and non-ethanol. Myatt Fuels has been in Central Texas for several years and based their success on the company's values, integrity, and commitment to their clients with superior service and dedication. Call Nick at Myatt Fuels with all your off-road, farm, on-road, and gasoline delivery needs. Now available non-ethanol gasoline. Call 675-8107 Myatt Fields, or look them up on Facebook.
Hi, this is Brad Sham. Stonewood Dental is your comfortable and remarkable home for a full spectrum of general dentistry starting at age 6 months. They feature a specialized treatment of TMJ pain known as bioesthetics, the highest degree of bite correction treatment that relieves patients of pain and gives them the smile of a lifetime. From simple fillings to full cosmetic reconstructions, Stonewood Dental also specializes in oral or IV sedation, implants, and wisdom teeth removal. They accept most insurance policies, including Medicaid and CHIP, at Stonewood Dental in Robinson.
Recently on You Make the Call.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to say, first of all, y'all, thank y'all for all the coverage y'all did there in New Orleans and everything else. It's a great job. I don't see how you could have done it any better. I'm always know everybody always kind of looks back and see maybe we could have done this or this, but I can't think of a thing. But I appreciate y'all doing that for everybody back here in Central Texas. But the main thing is my legacy deal for this team, heck, y'all, I mean, they're 2 years ahead of anything that I would have expected. I mean, I was hoping they'd be at this point where they're at right now, 2 years down the road. I mean, I thought maybe 7 wins, 8 wins would be really good. Anything above that was gravy on the steak, you know. So, I mean, you know, their legacy is they're way ahead of where they're at, and they're in a good place to, you know, maybe take another step. You know, even if they stay status quo, exactly what they did this year, that's still going to be a heck of a season, y'all.
You Make the Call on ESPN Central Texas. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. City Tire and Battery specializes in alignments, brakes, tune-up, suspension work, and oil changes. Check them out at 1502 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco. The wait was not long, but the wait is over as Mike McCarthy has been announced as the Cowboys' new head coach, taking the reins from Jason Garrett. Todd Archer reports McCarthy's deal is for 5 years and $30 million plus, and his staff is already coming together quickly as Saints linebacker coach Mike Nolan is expected to be Dallas' new defensive coordinator. According to reports, Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule met with the Panthers today in Waco and is expected to interview tomorrow in New New Jersey for the Giants' vacant head coaching job. Baylor men's basketball is up to number 4 in the latest AP Top 25 and coaches polls. The Bears will face number 22 Tech tomorrow night in Lubbock and number 3 Kansas in Lawrence on Saturday. Tonight in the NBA, Mavs host the Bulls at 7:30. Spurs host the Bucks at 7:30. Rockets have the night off.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas. A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services.
Baylor, both men and women won their openers in the Big 12. Women won at Oklahoma. They have UConn coming up on the road Thursday. And I'm not so sure yet. I know they're good. I'm not sure they're ready for UConn quite yet with Lauren Cox not quite 100%. Baylor men's basketball ranked 4th in the country. They beat Texas badly. Beat them up. They didn't shoot the ball well. Neither did Texas. Baylor dominated the board. Second half chances. And they just did what they do. They have Texas Tech on the road tomorrow night. And then at Kansas. Kansas ranked number 3 in the country. Also, the Rangers announced their winter caravan. And I have not looked at the list yet of when and if they come to Waco, Texas. Let me see. Abilene, Tyler, Arlington, Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth, Arlington. I don't see them coming to – haven't they always been to Waco, Paul? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always do.
Every year since I can remember, I'll need to check in with John Blake about that. But they've been pretty much in Waco, as far as I know, every year. But I don't see them, at least for now, in the 2020 Winter Caravan. All right, when we can, no, we can just do it now, can't we? Can we do it now or we have to take a break? Take a break. When we come back, the legendary and now retired Johnny Tusa, longtime football coach and now retired effective today as AD at Waco ISD. He's next on ESPN Central Texas.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's a December employee pricing for everyone event at Jim Turner Chevrolet. Stop in today or visit us online at turnerchevy.com for the best year-end deal on your new Chevrolet.
Genco Federal Credit Union is your first step toward an affordable home loan. Whether you're purchasing a new home or just refinancing your current loan, applying online is really easy. Go to GencoFCU.org. Shopping for a new home? Love it, buy it, and enjoy it. Already own your home? Update it and enjoy it even more. Let Genco Federal Credit Union be your home mortgage lender. Member NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
My money, my future, my credit union, Genco.
If you want to get in shape, get rid of weight or inches, you have to make a commitment to work out. End the excuses of not enough time, you're tired or too busy. There's a special place that will change your life, Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness on Lakeshore Drive in Waco. And right now, 3-month individual membership available for just $99. That's right, 3 months, $99. And they have a commitment back to you. Personal trainers Christy London and Randall Corley. State-of-the-art Cybex equipment, weights, spin bikes, clean and spacious locker rooms, each with a Whirlpool towel service, and a staff that knows your name when you walk through the front door. Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness, a place you can call home, place you can work out on your own or with group exercise classes, spin or spinnable, boot camp, yoga, bar class, and body shaping. A 3-month individual membership for just $99. It's time to make Waco Regional Tennis and Fitness your home away from home. On Lakeshore Drive in Waco.
Life never stops moving. Between the 30-minute commutes, daycare pickups, and that weekend trip to grandma's, you're racking up the miles. What you need is a tire that can keep up, like the exceptionally long-lasting Michelin Defender tire. With an 80,000-mile warranty and the safety you expect, you can lose track of the miles and focus on what really matters, the memories made along the way. Stop in today. City Tire and Battery will help get you back on the road quickly in your time of need. 1502 South Valley Mills Drive, Waco.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. City Tire and Battery specializes in alignments, brakes, tune-up, suspension work, and oil changes. Check them out at 1502 South Valley Mills Drive in Waco. The wait was not long, but the wait is over as Mike McCarthy has been announced as the Cowboys' new head coach, taking the reins from Jason Garrett. Todd Archer reports McCarthy's deal is for 5 years and $30 million plus, and his staff is already coming together quickly as Saints linebacker coach Mike Nolan is expected to be Dallas' new defensive coordinator. According to reports, Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule met with the Panthers today in Waco and is expected to interview tomorrow in New Jersey for the Giants' vacant head coaching job. Baylor men's basketball is up to number 4 in the latest AP Top 25 and coaches polls. The Bears will face number 22 Tech tomorrow night in Lubbock and number 3 Kansas in Lawrence on Saturday. Tonight in the NBA, Mavs host the Bulls at 7:30. Spurs host the Bucks at 7:30. Rockets have the night off.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, today, officially retired 6.5 years as athletic director, 41.5 years at Waco ISD, including assistant coaching jobs at Richfield University. Jefferson Moore, he was their football coach also at Waco High for 23. Johnny Tusa officially retired, and he joins Paul Catalina. I'm David Smoke in studio. You've been gone before, and then you came back. Did you accomplish what you wanted to when you came back 6.5 years ago?
I don't think I accomplished everything that I wanted to, David. We're definitely in need of facility upgrades at both the high schools. I think we were headed in that direction, and hope they're still headed in that direction. But you probably know the deal that we had going with the Heart of Texas, with Extraco, and the land swap, so on and so forth. That has not come to full fruition, to my knowledge, that's got to happen. You know, you in this day and time, you spend 95% of your time on the practice field. You've got to have those kind of facilities on campus, be it high school, college, or whatever, that give you an equal opportunity. You know, I never wanted to. I wasn't necessarily interested in being ahead, but I didn't want to be behind either. You know, you want to have a fair shot at it each and every year.
How much does that affect your participation when kids have to go to ping pong all over the city to go do what they have to do?
Well, you know, that of course that's a problem in high school because you only have 1 hour a day in an off season program, or 300 minutes a week as it's stated. They all have facilities, of course. The WISD Stadium is a neutral site, and we play, you know, football games there and soccer games, and that doesn't factor in the day-to-day process of putting teams together. And so your focus has got to be on the campus, and quite frankly, Waco High is behind. University has a new facility over there, but they could stand a new field house and some other things. And I'm hoping that that with the new superintendent and the new administration there, that they'll head in that direction.
Johnny, what's going on? Why has Waco High fallen so far?
Well, you know, you probably can't put it in one basket, David. The talent's not there that we used to have. You know, that can be attributed to a lot of things. The growth of the community, the outward growth into the suburbs. You have more schools doing more things facility-wise, curriculum-wise, and, you know, economically speaking. We were blessed by time there. We were really blessed with, you know, some outstanding players and it's no secret. You're not a good coach without good players.
No, you're right.
You know,
yeah.
And the better the players, the better coach I was. And we played anybody and everybody in the state and didn't back down from anybody. And That was because we felt like if we were going to be a premier program, that, you know, if you're going to be the best, as old Foge Fazio, mm-hmm. my old cousin, mm-hmm. says, you got to play the best and beat the best. And that was always our mantra, that we take on anybody. And I always considered non-district games, they was nothing more than a scrimmage. I mean, you bare your soul naked. When you play John Tyler, you play Tyler Lee, you play Lufkin, Longview, the Woodlands, Converse Judson. Gee whiz, you don't come back home not knowing,
yes,
what you got. And that was important to me.
Speaking of that, former Robert E. Lee coach Mike Owens, you guys played them, and I knew that they were better is when they finally beat you. And it wasn't easy, but I have always had great respect for Johnny. He was a great coach. We had some epic battles. Neither of us wanted to play each other, but we always said, I guess we have to, because we couldn't find anyone else to play us. What a great guy he was.
Mike was super. He was a great football coach. When you played Mike Owens and Tyler Lee, you had to be ready to go. And we did have some epic battles and some epic plays. And, you know, he had Mike Flynn at the time. And Matt Flynn at the time. And great running backs all the time. And they were really good defensively. But, you know, my admiration for East Texas football, it was on the top shelf, because those guys, when you lined up with them, you knew that somebody out of that area was probably going to be playing for the state championship at some point in time.
I always thought you fit that district more than anybody else around the state would have fit that. At the time, Wake, Ohio would have been perfectly formed into that district.
Yeah, we were like kind in a lot of ways,
yeah.
And it was a real challenge for us. But like I said, when we came away from those ball games, win or lose, we had number one, we had a healthy respect for our opponent, which we always had when we went out there. But secondly, we knew exactly what we had to do getting ready for our district. And, you know, that was the beauty of high school football is it's the district games count, and you have a way of choosing a state champion. It's not in the paper, mm-hmm. so, you know. It's on the
not some
field.
Playoff committee.
Not
some beauty pageant.
That's right. Makes you tired, but anyhow.
Yeah, do you know how they do it in Florida now?
Oh, there's no telling.
They're using maxpreps.com to seed the playoffs for them, so they save money on travel. I cannot imagine having to wait for a website to do your work for you.
I got one better than that. In California, if you play football, you pay to ride to the game on game day.
So. On the bus?
On the bus.
Wow. Mike Owens also told me, Paul heard this story as well. Halftime, both teams on the sidelines. The Wake, Ohio band was on the field beyond their allowed time. On a whim, Mike Owens walked over to the ref and said, "You know you have to give Wake, Ohio a penalty for delay of the game." The ref responded, "He would if the band had not left in the next minute." I said, "Well, they already delayed the kickoff for 5 minutes. You have to do it." To my surprise, he flew through the flag. You lost your mind, didn't you?
I did. I really did. And I confronted the band director on Monday. I said, "You know, the next time I get a penalty for you being out there, you're going to coach this team in the second half." But I was not a happy camper.
Go ahead and get him to for a second now. What was the biggest difference being a football coach, and even though a lot are AD football coach, being the football coach and being the AD? Because even though you're the AD, there's decisions to make. You still don't have your hands in the mud.
Well, it's not a job that's as fun as coaching. There is nothing like coaching. Anybody that's ever done it, there's nothing you can do in sports that surpasses or supplants coaching, because of the exhilaration, the hands-on with the kids on a daily basis, the constant changing, just the overall effort that you have to give is just like none other. I mean, you guys know you've covered sports forever. It's a day-to-day deal. No 2 days are alike. No two ball games are alike. It's just after I got out of coaching and did a little speaking with the AFCA, I always said that, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that football is the greatest game that we got, and coaching is the greatest profession that we have.
You mentioned you cannot win if you did not have talent. Let's real quickly. Here's somebody that helped you win a little bit. Derek Johnson, Hall of Famer. Former Kansas City Chief, of course, Wake, Ohio great, UT great, on with us now. And Derek, you want to say hi to Coach?
Hey, what's going on, Coach?
Hey, Derek. How you doing? Happy New Year.
Yeah, I'm doing. Hey, same to you, Coach. Same to you.
Well, this is a surprise here. All right.
You guys know what? Paul and I just back off. Yeah. Derek, do you have a favorite Johnny Tusa story that can be told on the radio?
Man, you know what? I don't know if I can. That's a little while ago, sir. I don't know if I can think back that long ago. But you know what? I tell you what, Coach Tusa always has the greatest sayings in the world. Just he's always got a saying or two for you, something, a life lesson that you can always learn from. And I just want to tell Coach that I appreciate him for not being – sometimes when you have high school coaches, you kind of leave that high school time back in the day. But Coach Tusa is a person I can call up at any time of the year when I was even in the NFL that I can still get inspiration from. So I really appreciate just the man he is and just what he represents as a high school football coach.
But, well, Derek, this goes without saying, but you were one that made me a way better coach than I really was, and I appreciate that. And you know, I can tell this. I got two of Derek's Pro Bowl jerseys, and
wow.
On one of them, he put a saying on there: "All it takes is all you got." I mean, that's that was one we leaned on a lot of times, but. Dave, you probably remember this when we played John Tyler out there.
Yeah.
Derek made 29 tackles in that ball game. And when I look back, I tell my wife, if he's not on that bus, we should have never got off that bus.
How many plays did you run in it? I mean, it wasn't like they're running the spread.
They ran the wing T, baby.
They ran the hammer and the scat, and they ran it with four different tailbacks. And God bless Derek. He was a one man wrecking crew that night, and of course he made several big plays. But we came back and played those guys again in the quarterfinals, and really and truly, that was probably the most disappointing game that I've ever coached, because we had a 21-0 lead that we let slip away, and we had to go into overtime and lost.
Yep.
We had the next game with Arlington Lamar here. That was already a settled deal. And, you know, and of course, John Tyler went on to beat him and got beat, I think, by Judson in the state championship. Katie in the state championship game. And, you know, that really and truly.
He had Aaron Ross.
He had Aaron Ross on that team. Yeah. He's the best defensive back we ever played. I guess the best running back was probably Cedric Benson.
Derek ended up playing with those guys.
Yeah, sure. Derek's a smart guy. He got on the same team with him. And I don't blame him.
I've told the story. Derek's heard this before, and I know Paul's heard it 1,000 times, but the 29-tackle game against JT was in Tyler.
Right.
The week before you beat Lee 34-9, they had Derek Farmer, and they were really good, and you guys beat them 34-9. He had one long run. Mm-hmm. But Derek was everywhere, and I kept mentioning to him on the broadcast. And the John Tyler fans were thinking I was just trying to prop up Waco High and Derek Johnson to make it look like Lee was okay. And then they met you the next week, and they realized, my God, yeah, he's pretty damn
good.
He's
a real deal. In fact, that Derek Farmer thing, and I can see this play now. Derek blitzed on the play.
75-yard run, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got there about the same time the ball was handed to Farmer. And the ball went one way, and Farmer went the other.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Derek, did you scoop that one? I know you intercepted one and ran one.
Yeah, I intercepted one and took it in.
I took it to the house, 20 tackles
that game.
Yeah.
So I actually had 20 and then 29 and 30 the next week. So I had 50 tackles in two weeks. That was a busy couple of weeks for me.
Derek was not only busy, but he was fast busy.
Yeah, he was really good.
He was really fast.
Derek, hey, thanks for calling in for a coach. We appreciate that.
Love you, man. Say your family hello. We love you. We appreciate you, and I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. I love you too, Coach.
All right. That's Derek Johnson, all everything, and a former Waco High great as well on ESPN Central Texas. Good to hear from the old guys. I mean, and isn't that the relationships you build?
That's what it's all about, David. You know, people forget games and scores. You don't forget relationships. I try to stay in touch with Derek and send him, you know, inspirational thoughts.
I visited the Kansas City practice when he was a rookie, and of course Dick Vermeil was the coach, mm-hmm. and had my family with me. My oldest daughter happened to be living in Kansas City at the time, so Derek got me permission to come tour the facility and watch practice, and so I'm talking to Dick Vermeil. He was a wine guy back then, mm-hmm. He said, would you like to say a few words to the team? I almost dropped my teeth. I said, what would a high school coach tell grown men in here? So anyhow, I got to sit in on their pre-game meeting, and I'm sitting in the back with the general manager, and Green was the quarterback, was the captain that week. Trent Green, yep, the quarterback, yes. And a couple other guys. The defensive guy came up. And about that time, Dick Vermeil gets up there. He says, well, we got Derek Johnson's old high school coach sitting in the back down there. Said, Johnny Tusa said, won't you come on down? I can tell you guys that was the longest walk of my life.
I bet.
I'm walking down. They got Willie Ross sitting in there and all these big guys. And the essence of what I said to them, they were playing San Diego, mm-hmm. who had LaDainian at the time. I said, fellas, if you can hold LaDainian to under 100 yards tomorrow, I think you can win. You know, lo and behold, they did that. And I'm just disappointed I didn't get invited back,
yeah,
for the pregame speech the next week. But anyhow.
Were most of your speeches off the cuff, or are those ones you kind of started planning during the week?
Yeah, they were, Bear Bryant, when I was a young coach, I heard him speak in Dallas, and when I first got started, he said, you know, if you're the head coach, you got to have a speech in case you win, and you got to have one in case you lose. He said, you need to go in the ball game with two speeches. I learned that you don't say much after a loss because you might not say the right thing. Mm-hmm. You can get away with a lot of things after a win, mm-hmm. you know, hey, guys, great game, yeah, all that. You got to be careful after a loss. Of course, my standard speech was, hey, fellas, I didn't do a good enough job of coaching. This one's on me. I can promise you that next week I'm going to be a different guy. We're going to get this thing together. And that was pretty standard, mm-hmm. for me each and every week. You know, if we did great, I would applaud the guys, but if we didn't, that came back to me. They were never to feel like it was any of their fault. The fault had to start with me.
How bad would they have had to play for you to go, listen, guys, this was embarrassing.
I coached my, you know what, off. You guys just stunk it up.
You guys stunk it up.
Guys, you should hear what's going on in these headsets right now.
Well, here's what we did do, though, when we evaluated the next morning. Uh-huh. Now that, you know, the truth came out after you watched film, and I had to say, you know, old Billy, he ain't cutting it. And we're going to have to do something else. We had a wholesale change. We started off one season at 0-5, and we replaced our entire defensive front because we had an open date. Mm-hmm. And darn if we didn't go three rounds in the playoff because we took a chance on putting some faster, smaller, quicker guys into a defensive line that was inept for 5 weeks. And that was one wholesale change that really paid dividends at midseason.
Yeah, I remember when I would call you, and a lot of coaches, you know, when you ask the broadcaster, wants your depth chart, and I would see a completely different one that you would maybe if you played John Tyler, right, or someone the week before, and I always didn't believe you. I was like, that's what you did. You were trying to always tinker.
We did, especially in the non-district games. You know, we'd move people around and try to get the right chemistry. You know, you start over every year. You don't get any carryover value on a team. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, I got 9 starters here. You're back to ground zero because it's all about chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
played for the state championship in 2006, had 8 starters back the next year, but did not have the right chemistry and lost in the first round of the playoffs to Ennis in an overtime game that we should have won.
Speaking of which, 2006 had a kid named Jared Salubi.
Right.
You're running back. You end up playing for the state championship.
Right.
Jared now joins us on the phone as well. Jared Salubi with Johnny Tusa. Johnny Tusa retiring today as AD. Jared, you know he at one point was the football coach. You want to say a few things to your coach?
Hey, Coach T, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Jared, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Coach. Doing good. I just wanted to call in
And, you know, wish you good luck on retirement and wanted to say congratulations on everything.
Well,
successful career.
I'm humbled by that, and I appreciate that. And God bless you for that. And I'll tell you, there again, same thing I told Derek. It was guys like you that made me look smart, and I appreciate that. And we're forever grateful for you.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Coach. I want to thank you also for giving me a shot and opportunity to showcase my skills. Without you, you know, I wouldn't be the person I am today. So I want to tell you thank you.
I'm glad to have had the opportunity, and I'd be remiss, and I know the guys at the round table know that you made a 99-yard touchdown run in the state championship game, and I ran 42 of those yards. Because when you got to midfield, of course, you were putting a lot of distance between us, but that was an exciting day for me. I know that was an exciting run for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I always remember that day, and I remember that play for sure.
Oh, well, it was a great day. Well, I appreciate you calling in. You doing okay?
Yes, sir. I'm doing good. I'm blessed.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, you know, we love you and appreciate you, and hope to see you soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, good luck. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Smokey.
Yeah, you too, Jared. Thanks for calling in. Derek Johnson, Jared Salubi. Paul, you had another thing you wanted to ask.
Yeah, you mentioned chemistry. And I would say that outside of a game plan that's got to be ornate and all that, the toughest thing that you have to do, because there's not a game plan for chemistry. You have to – most of it has to happen naturally, and you just have to – as coaches, don't you have to just kind of guide it like a baby bird kind of out of the nest?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. You don't – you can't mandate it. You do have to guide it. I mean, there are some disappointing years. We had in 1989, I got six D1 players that we did not get out of district. That was the first time we didn't make the playoffs because they competed with each other, but we didn't compete with the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
They were more concerned about who was getting the accolades on our team, and they were jealous of each other. And we went 7-3 that year. That was when you only took one team, you know, to the playoffs. So you go 7-3, 8-2, and you don't beat the right ones. I think Clean Ellison that year won it to – you go home, but we were loaded. We were loaded with talent.
You had a team. You had a lot of teams that lost lots of games, but you still went like 8-6, 9-4, 5-8. Tell me about the 5-8 team in 1996.
That was the team I referred to. We started off 0-5. We got beat by Arlington, Lamar, I think Deer Park. There was two Arlington teams in there, and I think Lufkin was on that schedule. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we played a who's who schedule, and we just were not very good stopping the run. And that was we had an open date, and we retooled the defense. We went down and beat Belton in our first ball game, and we were 2-2 in district. Mm-hmm. Coppers Cove was. We were at the time we were 2-8 and they were we were 2-7 going to that last game and they were 7-2. We beat them on that night, and I can remember there was an elderly couple sitting in the stands. So I went up to do an interview up in Coppers Cove.
Mm-hmm.
You know where you guys?
Oh yeah,
and you know all about that. So I'm walking through the stands, and this elderly man and his wife are still sitting there, kind of dumbfounded. And the guy looked at his wife. He said, "How can they be 2-7 and we're 7-2 and they're going to the playoffs next week and we're not?" And I had to chuckle a little bit, which reminded me you got to win the right games. Mm-hmm. We went 3-2. We go down and beat A&M Consolidated, and then we played. I'm trying to think who that second game was with. Anyhow, we won two ball games, and then we had to play Lake Highlands again, who had beat us 49-7. That was the other team. It was Lake Highlands. They beat us 49-7, I think, in the regular season. We're ahead of them in the third quarter. You know, that's how far we came, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When Jack Moss was the athletic director here, and he was the best we've ever had, He used to tell you, you know, I'm going to evaluate you. Are you better at the end of the year than you were at the beginning? Mm-hmm. That's the litmus test of a coach. Is the team better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning? And that was the only criteria.
I would say every year it would be hard for him to have ever fouled many years where that wasn't the case.
Right? And that was always our hope that we could build. We didn't want to be as good in those first two or three weeks that we had to be in those last two or three weeks, and because we wanted to grow, you know, and that was pretty much the case.
Well, George Strait doesn't open with Amarillo by Morning, Coach. I mean, you know, that's where it closes.
That's right.
By the way, on their text line, what did you think about playing Bob McQueen all the times you did?
He and I were great friends, mm-hmm. and when I got the job in 1986, you know, people come up to me and say, you know, if you only win one game, you got to beat Temple. You got to, you know, we don't care. You got to beat Temple. Well, you know, we played Temple 17 times. I think we won 13 of them.
Did you really? Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we were probably one of the few teams that ever had a winning record mm-hmm. against him. But I learned a lot from him. He was, when I was at Jefferson Moore, I used to call on him for advice and so on and so forth. He was a great mentor. He's a great friend. I enjoyed the competition because you knew when you played them, you were going to play one of the best coach teams mm-hmm. in the state.
Mm-hmm.
And same way with guys like Mike Owens. When you play the best coach teams in the state and they line up and know what to do and all that, your job as a coach becomes easier simply because you know where they're going to be. It's just going to be a matter of you're better than they are or not. But Bob McQueen is a high school phenomenon. I mean, you win 50 games in a row, you know. You do the math on that one. That was phenomenal.
I think one of the best high school football teams I ever saw at the highest level was Temple in 90, was it two? Whatever team that was, they won the state championship. They had an offensive line that truly looked like they could line up on Saturday and play in college football that year. They were unbelievable.
They were really good.
Joe Blanick's on the line. Is that right? Joe, with the catering business, Blanick's, he wanted to chime in and say hi to Coach. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello. Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing? You catering somewhere tonight?
Well, Zeke, that's what I was going to say. You're not retiring. I see you all the time at these benefits.
That's right. I just stepped aside.
You are helping the community in all kinds of things. You help Ben Johnson with
FCA?
Athletic. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with FCA. I see you out with CASA. You're not retiring. You're just going to do more volunteer work to help the community like the good man you are.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you saying that, Joe. We, you know, it's all about giving back, and we're going to continue to try to do that.
All right, Joe, thanks for calling in. We had Derek Johnson.
Wait, one more thing.
Okay, it's your show. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm gonna come show you how to...
It's not that he's a coach that makes him a good person. It's he's a teacher makes him a good person.
Yeah. Joe controlled our show. I get to go cook a prime rib with you.
By the way,
thanks for the great call.
I think the reason that Johnny asked him if he was catering somewhere tonight so he could just swing by.
That's right. I'm trying to get an address here.
Go get some horseradish. Yeah. Joe, sauce.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Joe, and all you do for the community. You're a great man.
All right, so you're going to start doing some more. You're going to go back to doing a little bit of work on the side with AFCA. With Todd Berry, is that right?
Right. I'm going to go to convention next weekend and help them a little bit and do what they need for me to do. I talked to a guy. I'm going there's a possibility I might interview David Cutcliffe. It's kind of a little deal I did with Coach Taft last year down there, and just asking questions about the state of the game and where we are, those kinds of things, where football is in this day and time, and. You know, I'm concerned about it. I know a lot of people are. We seem to have 19,000 penalties for contact, and it's a contact sport.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, I mean, you got to.
I think it's ruining me watching football.
Yeah, it does. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to see some of the stuff that's going on now. You know, you guy gets a really good hit or something and a clean hit, and you're wondering if it's going to be. It's mm-hmm. going to be chaos or not.
Yeah, you
not,
wait for that little yellow flag to come down.
You're looking all at right. this TV screen.
So it's done. This is it. I know you're going to go be – you're still going to be active. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, I'm I really just stepped aside. You know, I don't use the word retire because you got to go do something. And, you know, I thank God for my health at my age, and I thank God for the people that I've had the opportunity to associate with. It's just been a great ride. It's been a blessing, and God bless my wife and family. They've been with me all the way, and I'm blessed by a great family. And that's where it starts. You got to have that support at home to get things done, because you spend a lot of time with other people's people and their kids and so on and so forth.
Well, a text from Tom Barfield. You worked with him for a long time. He was here for many years, and then also you did broadcast. He said you were the best he ever worked with when it came to that. The Lorena press box. Because we did a game on the roof one time.
Yeah, we went up there. I think the wind was blowing about 40 miles an hour. And I had shoulder surgery that first year, and, you know, we're climbing a ladder into the open air. I said, you know, Barfield, I don't think I'm making near enough money to climb this ladder and sit on this Lorena press box and watch the ball game. But we had some great times. Tom, as you know, he's a consummate professional.
Yep.
And enjoyed really, really enjoyed working with him.
You know, I felt bad at the time that we were up there. That was a weightier time in our lives, and the guy we had with us was even bigger.
Yeah,
and I think the people below were like, hey, guys, why don't we just swap?
That's right. I hear you.
Hey, I'm glad you could come in. We wanted to give you a little send-off. It's great to hear from some of your players, Joe and all the others, that Derek and Jared, and wish you the very – I mean, it's not like – this is not like we're – like, this is not your eulogy.
No.
This is you just getting away. You're officially out. You're now going in to do other things like you've done before, but we wanted to have you come in the studio and just kind of have a great send-off.
Well, David, I want to say to you and Paul, you know, you guys have done a yeoman's job for sports in this area like none other. Keep up the good work. People believe in you and listen to you, and you guys are really special, and I'm appreciative of that.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. Johnny Tusa, 41 and a half years at Waco ISD. This is ESPN Central Texas.
I'll take a grande, no foam, triple cap, double pump vanilla latte with 3.5 ice cubes, slightly shaken, extra whip.
Yeah, that's going to be an upcharge.
Great! This one is on my Kasasa cashback checking account. Kasasa pays me cash back on everyday debit card purchases, plus refunds on ATM withdrawal fees. Go on, take back banking and treat yourself to monthly cash rewards.
First Central Credit Union. Come see them today or apply online at firstcentralcu.com.
Okay, so what's the most important part about your house? Nope, it's not that bar or the theater room with that sound system. Think about it. The most important thing is your roof. It has to withstand all that Mother Nature can throw your way, so it makes sense to have the best. McAdams & Sons Roofing is your first choice when it comes to protecting that valuable asset. Experienced professionals using only the best materials. So for new construction, re-roofs, repairs, or remodels, for composition and metal roofs, think McAdams & Sons Roofing first. And now McAdams & Sons Roofing is installing seamless gutters to give your home a bright new look and added value. McAdams & Sons Roofing will come out and take a look at your roof and handle all the insurance process for you. Don't let any fly-by-night company look at your roof. Let a real professional you trust do the work. Put McAdams & Sons over 40 years experience to work for you. Check it out at McAdamsRoofing.com. That's McAdamsRoofing.com. Or give them a call today at 254-799-2949. Because you don't want a kid with your house's lid.
Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, the team physicians of Baylor Athletics. Our doctors specialize in the diagnosis and treatment of any and all sports-related injuries. Celebrating over a decade of service to Central Texas, our doctors are equipped to handle a wide range of issues, whether it's your foot or ankle, your hand or wrist, knee and shoulder pain, or you're in need of our arthritis and total joint clinic. Trust the doctors that Baylor trusts. Southwest Sports Medicine and Orthopedics. Our goal is to get you back in the game.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley. We're brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's a December employee pricing for everyone event with our best year-end deals. Come see the difference that so many of our friends have raved about. Transparent pricing, the highest trade allowances, and a huge inventory of new Chevrolets for you to choose from. Or check us out online at turnerchevy.com. That's Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. Sick 'em, Bears!
While your favorite team strives to add more gold championship trophies to their trophy case, in business, a championship decision is partnering with UBO Business Services and Sean Hunt. Boasting an industry-leading 94% first-time fix rate, UBO Business Service leaves their copier service competitors in the dust with their own average first-time fix rate of less than 40%. Call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services today, 254-772-1600. That's 254-772-1600.
Hey, Central Texas, this is Julio Castillo, owner and operator of Jack Roofing and Exteriors. Let's talk Roofing for Dummies 101. First, you want to breathe. Second, you want to seal. And third, you want to defend. Today, we're going to talk about defending your roof against nature's elements. We replace every layer of your roof properly, and that starts with going all the way down to your deck. For more information, check us out online at jacroofs.com or call us directly at 254-732-2872. Here at Jack Roofing and Exteriors, we are making customers happy one roof at a time.
KRZI Waco, K256BW Waco, ESPN Central Texas.
All right, so Cowboys have a new head coach. Still some teams looking for their first decision of 2020 when it comes to a head coach. Cleveland, Carolina, the Giants, is that right? Mm-hmm. Who else am I missing in that
list?
That's it.
There's only five.
And obviously the Giants and their wish list right now, it appears to include Josh McDaniels. Maybe at some point, although they're kind of reacting pretty quickly, maybe it will include Jason Garrett, who gets his foot in the door. And, of course, Baylor's Matt Rhule as well. I was just talking to Johnny Tusu as he's walking up the door. I asked him about the job that Matt Rhule had done. And he said, that's phenomenal. I can't even explain it. And he said, you know, he has a chance here at Baylor. The year that they had, he has a chance right now. The way that the Big 12 is set up, really there's only one consistent. That's Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance right now with, even though there's some teams that can get better in a year here, that you can go in and you can be in this position year after year after year if you don't screw it up.
Well, and I think that's a consideration for, he told us as much last week at the Sugar Bowl about building a program. And, you know, you have to, like, I think it's funny that some people don't consider that in that where they are right now, because he's at the beginning of his tenure. If he was at the end of his tenure, or hey, had they hauled off and gone to the CFP and done what nobody thought they were going to do, then maybe you go, look,
I'm
never going to be hotter than this. I've got to go. But the fact that you think that you can and that you're building something, and the recruits he's going to get off of this run will be better than any of the ones he's gotten. And it's probably not necessarily anybody in this cycle, but the next recruiting cycle, they'll be, you know, allowed to do that, because so many people are committed now. Like, for example, when teams win the national championship, unless you're Alabama and you're good all the time, but when teams win their first national championship, it's not that year's class that's the best one. It's the one right after, mm-hmm. when you can walk in and you know, knock that ring on the table. So what Matt Rhule can do here, and it's not to be understated, it's important. If you've got a good thing, there's no reason the NFL is always going to be better.
I'm telling you right now, I know that it's frustrating, and I tried to think about this a little bit last night. Had been traveling for 11 and a half, I think, of the last 13 days, and it really hadn't kind of hit me yet of where everything was. And this year has been a very quiet year when it comes to coaching changes, which you would have thought the odds would have been good for Baylor. But the one job that opened up that makes ding, 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 ding was not the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones apparently did not want to go with a college coach. I don't know if he ever really had conversations with Lincoln Riley or not. I saw the reports about that he didn't want to have to deal with, like, kind of grooming or, like, learning along the way with a college coach. Although Jimmy Johnson, he had to learn along the way, and they won immediately, almost all but immediately. But this Giants thing, I can see where there is some frustration from those who are like, my God, you're going to do this again. Because you know what? It affects a lot of people. It affects those who are coaching. It affects the players. The recruiting class right now is very average. It's rated, and again, ratings don't matter, but rated as the worst of the recruiting classes of the Big 12. You only got like 11 guys or whatever. They still can sign another 5, 6, or 7. And the ones that they're looking at in February would be really nice names that would vault them up a little bit. Not much. But this right here, these next 2 or 3 days will be very intriguing to see what happens. And don't believe everything you read
One of the worst and most damning things that, you know, we can discuss social media and all that. We've done that before. But is that just because somebody else, we have people in our own business, somebody reports something on Twitter, we report it as the truth. We've been burned by that before. I haven't, but you can be. If Adam Schefter reports something, 99 out of 100 times it's true. But the other day, he reported something. He reported this. Matt Rhule called a team meeting to inform his players of his interest in the NFL, of the speculation around the NFL.
No,
he didn't.
He called a team meeting to eat breakfast.
They were at chapel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
They were at chapel. They were already gathered, and so he brought it up. It wasn't like some kind of that. And it's kind of like semantics and little apples and oranges, whatever. But there is no question the Giants are interested, and I could see Matt Rhule sitting down and visiting with the Giants. And I even saw one that said if they let him leave by Tuesday or Wednesday, then that something's gone wrong. Well, we'll see what happens. And guess what? If that happens, Mac Rhodes is who you focus in on. And I would think that if it's ever, and like I said, there's nervous energy on the campus right now, that Mac Rhodes has his list at least ready, if not already. Well, in charge of, okay, in case.
It was ready when he got here before he even talked to Jim Grobe, when Jim Grobe was the interim coach. Like, it was ready then.
I want to get into one more thing about Baylor. I'm going to try to be careful. I'm going to try to give the reporter the benefit of the doubt because he's about to be, he could regret something. So I'm sitting there, I don't know when this was, maybe Friday. Yes, Friday. What was the second? Thursday. And I guess this was tweeted out on Thursday morning, Thursday. Oh, yeah, January 2nd. This is from, November 23rd, Charlie Brewer takes this hit against Texas, which should have been a targeting call. It wasn't. The officials send Brewer to the sideline to be evaluated. In the following week, Matt Rhule says he's fine. They were checking out a rolled ankle. Remember, he took a shot to the head as he was going down to the side of his helmet. Then there's a video of this play. Then they show video of the play against Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Then there's video, I believe, of the play in the second half against Georgia. Mm-hmm. This reporter, we've had him on the show. It's Ian Boyd. Mm-hmm. I saw this. He basically, hold on just a second. I was not going to get really into this too much, but I have to. Brewer would play the next 2 weeks, first against Kansas, then against Oklahoma, where he took this hit. He got up, got woozy, the official then asked to be checked out. Next, we learned that Brewer spent the next week in a dark room and barely remembers any of it. Nevertheless, he's cleared to play in the bowl game against Georgia where this occurred, and it's the hit when he was falling out of bounds. Next, we learned you can see Brewer on the ground for a while, then he gets up looking around, engaging with the training staff. Rhule later updates us that they were checking his spine, and he seems to be fine. All right, now, hold on. There's something going on here. All right, here we go. It looks bad for Rhule, but really the training staff has delegated things like that in the game. It's truly bizarre that he didn't receive a bunch of tests and precautionary checks when he got up woozy. I don't know that that happens. All right, now, on top of that, Ian continues to say, a few Baylor fans in my mentions adamant that nothing suspicious has occurred with the handling of Charlie Brewer and the hits to his head. Because football programs have never shown bad judgment with concussions before. He continues that this is a Matt Rhule issue and then brings in Kenny Boyd, who was on the Texas staff back when David Ash was there, mm-hmm. from Belton, who eventually had his career ended because of concussions. It looks bad for Rhule, but really the training staff, if Matt Rhule sticks around to hear him, it would be encouraging to hear him talk about some changes to ensure more responsiveness. I'm telling you right now. Then another reporter doubled down on this. Mm-hmm. And I contacted him, and I know him. I said, man, be careful here. I'm just telling you, you're treading on some thin ice. I was then responded to, hey, I covered him. Have you even spoken with his father? How about members of the Baylor staff?
I text Robert Brewer. He's furious. He's furious with some of what's being reported. I'm telling you right now, that's all I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. This is not over. And sometimes when you can give opinions, but when you start to point fingers and make accusations that are in some cases slanderous, everything is saved. Some of this with another reporter was taken down. Everyone has a copy of it. I'm not going to say much more because I'm taking, this is no longer, and it's not my business in the first place, but I was trying to help a young reporter. Mm-hmm. So I contacted Robert Brewer, which we stay away from contacting parents unless we're given the permission to do that for a story. And hey, we'll tell me about when he was younger, when he was five or whatever. The one thing that Robert Brewer and his family can't do is like respond to that because all that does is put gas in the fire.
Yeah.
This story is not over, and it's not over as in a negative towards Baylor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not very smart at all. You can have an opinion about a lot of things, but and it's not as if you're, it's not like you're not caring about the young. It's not like you're not caring, but there's a point where pointing fingers and accusing a university and then actual members of the staff of integrity issues or irresponsibility, now you're crossing a line. Now, I understand, well, it's Baylor, and okay, stop, shut up. This is a completely different animal, different era, different type, different type of staff. I'm telling you right now, that'll be something to watch. That's all I'll say there. 517, this is ESPN Central Texas.
Hi, this is Bambi Eskew from Alan Samuels House of Travel. When was the last time you experienced an adventure that took your breath away? Well, the time is now. Holland American Line and Alan Samuels House of Travel proudly present On Stage Alaska, an exhilarating live performance and stunning visual presentation. You'll discover all the great land has to offer. Towering mountains, ice age glaciers, abundant wildlife, dog sledding, gold panning, and so much more. All in the hands of Alaska's oldest and most respected cruise line company, Holland American Line. On Stage Alaska, here for a one-night presentation, Tuesday, January 14th at the Waco Hippodrome Theater. Doors will open at 6 p.m., presentation at 6:30. Don't miss this refreshingly different travel show or the opportunity for all the special bonus travel benefits that we will offer. On Stage Alaska. Call Alan Samuels House of Travel today for any questions and to RSVP. 254-776-2560, and we hope to see you there.
Car has the trucks, man. They have the one for you. Crew cab, short or long bed, silver, black, or blue. Texas size selection, great prices too. Richard Carr, he has the truck for you. Carr has the trucks, man. He has the truck you need. If you want the best truck, you want a GMC. Texas size selection, great prices too. Richard Carr, they have the truck for you.
Y'all listen up. Let me tell you something about Group Meals from Rudy's Barbecue. It's got all you need for all the folks you gotta feed, smoked meat, sides, and more. There's everything down to the tablecloth, just like the one that you see at the store. And a bridal shower, it's better than flowers. And a long business meeting, it'll pass the hours. It'll feed all the cousins at a family function. It's better than potluck at a church luncheon. Next time you need to feed 10 or more, call and order a Rudy's Group Meal.
Next in line.
J.D. Power has honored Texas Farm Bureau Insurance for 8 consecutive years for the highest customer satisfaction with auto insurers in Texas. Texas Farm Bureau Insurance, protecting Texans since 1952.
Hey, it's Matt Mosley, brought to you by Jim Turner Chevrolet of McGregor, the official Chevy dealer of Baylor Athletics. It's a December employee pricing for everyone event at Jim Turner Chevrolet. Stop in today or visit us online at turnerchevy.com for the best year-end deal on your new Chevrolet.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Prices have been slashed for the year-end inventory sale at Lone Star Structures in Lawton Temple and at LoneStarStructures.com. The wait was not long, but the wait is over as Mike McCarthy has been announced as the Cowboys' new head coach, taking the reins from Jason Garrett. Todd Archer reports McCarthy's deal is for 5 years and $30 million plus, and his staff is already coming together quickly as Saints linebackers coach Mike Nolan is expected to be Dallas' new defensive coordinator per multiple reports. According to various reports, Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule met with the Panthers today in Waco and is expected to interview tomorrow in New Jersey for the New York Giants' vacant head coaching job. Baylor men's basketball is up to number 4 in the latest AP Top 25 and coaches poll rankings. The Bears will face number 22 Tech tomorrow night in Lubbock and the number 3 Kansas Jayhawks in Lawrence on Saturday. Tonight in the NBA, Mavs host the Bulls at 7:30. Spurs host the Bucks at 7:30. Rockets have the night off.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, here we go, 521. One note about our sports profession as far as sports talk radio. I've been in the business since November of 1981, and it was the Cowboys' first Super Bowl under Jimmy Johnson. They beat Buffalo in L.A., and that was 52-17. It was in Los Angeles at the Rose Bowl. That was actually January of 93. In January of 94, in Atlanta, they beat Buffalo again to win their back-to-back Super Bowls. That year, that week, in January of 94, radio station in Dallas called The Ticket signed on. It was their first week on the air. I've told this story before. At the time, Radio Row was in the second or third level below the main level at the Hyatt Regency. And I got a table. It really just angered this sports talk yapper from San Francisco. I got a table that was right there on the corner of the escalator going down to what would have been media headquarters down in like the third level below. And there was people like tables everywhere like it is now. Now it's always in the convention center. It's kind of sterile. There's, you know, maybe 100 tables of talk radio. Not all of them are always filled. And there's some networks and they got their, hey, how big can we be, and throw our you know what on the table, how big these stages can be. But that week of January of 1994, The Ticket signed on in Dallas. Their station was stuck underneath the downward part of the escalator on the other side of the room. I mean, they were basically stuck in this little area. They became a monstrous radio station, obviously, with huge numbers, Marconis and all that other stuff. Things have changed dramatically for them. Mike Reiner, the old Gray Wolf, announced he's retiring from the business. He's a Hall of Fame broadcaster, radio guy, rock and roll mind.
Yeah.
And he has announced his retirement. Mike Reiner is one of those in the business that you will never hear somebody say something bad about. That will never be said about me, but it will be said about him that he was someone that everybody appreciated. Great baseball fan, and just said it the way he said it. He's fantastic. Congratulations to Mike. I hope he enjoys his retirement.
Yeah, we've sat next to Mike, but tended up next to him at many Cowboys training camps, lots of different things, and always a great guy, and I've seen his band. They're great too. They're really good. So I wish nothing but the best for him. And again, a pioneer in our business.
Yep,
a guy who had an idea that grew into what it was. And there's never going to be anything like The Ticket ever again. Like everything else to me will be just kind of a knockoff of it.
Dave Campbell, this is now out. It's been out. I know one of the message boards had this, and I just saw where Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine has made the announcement. I didn't think it was my business to do so, but his wife, Reba, married for 70 years, passed away yesterday afternoon. There's an obituary for Reba Campbell on the Wilkerson Hatch Bailey website. And, of course, the great Dave Campbell, who is the namesake of the Texas Football Magazine and the longtime great writer for the Waco Trib. His wife, Reba, passed away. 70 years of marriage. She passed away on Sunday afternoon. 5:24 is the time. When we come back, voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham.
It's time now for the Baylor Sports Beat on the home of the Bears, ESPN Central Texas. Now, here's the voice of the Bears.
Hi, everybody. It's time for a check of Baylor Athletics on the Monday Baylor Sports Beat. Coming up, wins for Baylor men's and women's basketball in their Big 12 openers over the weekend. We'll have details straight ahead on today's Baylor Sports Beat.
There's only one Motor Trend Truck of the Year. It's Ram from Allen's Admirals. Ram, back-to-back Motor Trend Truck of the Year for 2019 and 2020. Now, kick off the new year with remarkable savings on new Rams during the Allen's Annual Start Something New sales event. This special 2020 New Year's event is underway right now, and you can save thousands on new Rams. Ram, for your family, farm, or business, at Waco's most trusted dealer, Allen Samuels. Allen Samuels Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, your friend in the car business.
To win in sports, you must focus on your strategy as the game changes. The same is true of investments. Brad Hill, your Edward Jones financial advisor, can help. Call Brad at 254-301-7080 or visit Brad at 8810 Woodway Drive, Suite 307 in Waco. Edward Jones, making sense of investing, member SIPC.
Hi, this is Jan. Thanks for calling Toyota.
I heard Toyotathon is on.
We've got great year-end deals on Camry, RAV4, Tundra, Highlander, and more. Do you hear that?
Yep, that's my mom. I'm home for the holidays, and she likes eavesdropping on my calls like she used to.
What was that again about year-end deals?
Mom.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
But hurry, it all ends January 6th. Bring your mom.
Toyota, let's go places. Participating dealers only. Offers end January 6th.
Now, back to today's Baylor Sports Beat. Here again is the voice of the Bears.
And back on today's Baylor Sports Beat, both Baylor men's and women's basketball opening Big 12 play over the weekend. First, the Lady Bears, number 6 in the nation, playing in Norman against the Oklahoma Sooners. Baylor fell behind 15-4 to start the game, then went on a 29-0 run to take a lead they never gave back. 77-56 the final, Baylor winning over Oklahoma behind Taya Cooper's career-high 32 points in the game. The Lady Bears now 11-1 on the season. They're 1-0 in Big 12 conference play, stepping out of conference to play top-ranked UConn on Thursday. Meanwhile, Scott Drew and the 6th-ranked Baylor men opening at home against Texas. In a defensive battle, Baylor got 21 points from Macy O'Teague, held Texas to their lowest scoring output of the Shaka Smart era, and won the game 59-44 over the Longhorns. Here's head coach Scott Drew.
Well, typical Big 12 game, hard fought. Both teams, I thought, played great defense. Offensively, probably both teams missed a lot of shots because of the defense. And then first conference games, new season, you're always a little bit amped up and a little excited. And I thought, when we settled in and had that run and got separation, that was huge for us, and really pleased with how everybody contributed, and that's what you gotta have to win in the Big 12.
Scott Drew and the Bears now 11-1 on the season. They're 1-0 in Big 12 conference play, winners of 10 straight on the year. Back in action tomorrow night in Lubbock against Texas Tech. And that's today's Baylor Sports Beat. More tomorrow. I'm John Morris.
A championship decision in business is partnering with Sean Hunt and UBO Business Services. With their 94% first-time fix rate, they leave their copier service competitors in the dust. Call Sean today at 772-1600, UBO Business Services. It's time for our weekly segment with the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham. Brought to you by Stonewood Dental in Robinson, where your comfort is their priority.
529 is the time. Shereen Williams joined us earlier today. Voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham. Cowboys have moved. Jason Garrett no longer the head coach. Mike McCarthy, former Packers head coach, is now the head coach of Dallas. Will be introduced later in the week. And Brad Sham joins us on ESPN Central Texas. Brad, your thoughts when you heard his name was kind of circling over the weekend? You never know what's true. But Mike McCarthy, you've done many a game when he was the coach at Green Bay.
Yeah, I thought he had a great career there. He had a terrific resume, and some people might view it as a safe choice. I would not agree with that. I think that he's a guy with skins on the wall, and how it impacts the roster and the rest of the coaching staff, we'll see. That'll be up to him, but I mean, you know, he did a great job in Green Bay. I don't know what there is to complain about. I think, you know, they got stale. Maybe he got a little stale there. He says he did. the same way maybe Jason did in Dallas and Andre did in, you know, Kansas City. And, yeah.
Brad, this was – we talked about Jerry's, you know, timetable last week. Is this – he's never done this thing the same way twice, has he, with a coaching search? Because this one was
You know, he really hasn't. That's a great point, Paul. He really hasn't, and this one I think was hard for him because this is someone that he really, really felt close to personally, had a lot of history with, and but I think that's great. He really knew he was had to do it the same way twice.
You know, we were reading his resume. Compared to Sean Payton, and matches up across the board almost perfectly. Division titles, NFC East, or you know, playoff record. In fact, it's even better. If Jason Garrett had, I asked this question earlier, take his 10 years with Dallas. If he had one NFC championship game on his resume, even if it was a loss, would he still be the head coach of the Cowboys?
Maybe. It would have depended on, it's a great question. Would depend on when it was and what happened since then. You know, I think that on one hand, it's, and there's been a lot of this on Twitter today. I've spent a little more time on Twitter than I really like, but it's pretty interesting that, you know, for all of the talk about what it, you know, what people want to be a winner, what everybody wants is the kind of run Belichick has had in New England. That's what they want. Because McCarthy has won the same number of Super Bowls in Green Bay as Sean Payton has in New Orleans, as Mike Tomlin has in Pittsburgh, and I believe as Pete Carroll has in Seattle. And so, you know, you're not going to get a Super Bowl every year. It's just a real hard thing to do. Now, do you have a reasonable expectation if you want one, you know, more than every 25 years? Yeah, I think that's reasonable. But I think that the question for Jason would have been, when did that happen? If it happened last year, if they'd beaten the Rams and gotten to the championship game and then had this year, how would that have impacted things? If that had happened in, say, 14, and everything else had happened the way it did since. It's a great question to debate, and I think an impossible one to really answer.
Brad, you've been with the Cowboys a long time, so you know you were there when Dick Nolan was on the staff. Full circle, Mike
I knew
Nolan.
Dick, yeah, yeah, knew Dick well.
Yeah,
really liked him.
Yeah, thoughts on Mike Nolan, his son, going to be the defensive coordinator, it appears.
Well, I mean, you know, he's had a great career. He's had a very solid professional coaching career that's been very much like a lot of other NFL coaches. Some of them tend to move around quite a bit, and sometimes they have success, and sometimes they have a little less success, and sometimes it's hard for people like us and fans to tell. You almost have to be there every day to know anything beyond the numbers, and the numbers, Paul, can lie to you. So, I mean, I think if you talk to people around the industry, people have a very high opinion of Mike Nolan.
Yeah, and it's man, I remember Dick Nolan. Didn't he? Was he the head coach of the 49ers at one point?
He was at one point. Yeah,
Long time name attached to football. Brad, today's a day about Mike McCarthy, but also at the same time, Jason Garrett. You've known him forever. We asked you a little bit about this a week ago. We just didn't know the result. We kind of knew. Your thoughts about his legacy or his time with Dallas?
I mean, as I probably said to you the day that he was hired, Smokey, it's hard for me to be objective because I don't make any secret of the fact that I consider him a personal friend. I've known him since he was a rookie. I think he's the kind of person that you want running your organization. It drives me to near distraction the people who want to say that the guy's dumb or spineless or not a good football coach based on what they think they know because of the results of the last 10 years. It is fair to say that the head coach is going to, along with the quarterback, get more criticism than anyone else, and they all know it. Jason's father was a coach, and he got fired. He understands it. I think that the reality is that he did a heck of a lot better job than a lot of people think. You do, in 10 years, hope that you're going to get past the second round of the playoffs. You hope that in 10 years you're going to win more than two playoff games. I think that's what he won, two playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
And you want more than that. You want to be, and so does he. You know, you want to be in the race every year. You want to be in championship games, and you want to be in the running for the Super Bowl and all of that. And it, if you're there consistently, every now and then you jump into the deep end, you'll probably be okay. And he, because of what they didn't do, the record of what he did do will be obscured as a football coach. What I know for sure is that you can't get a better human being. You can't get a more decent guy. You can't get a more disciplined guy. You can't get a tougher guy. You can disagree with individual calls and one thing and another. That's part of football. And what I know is that you can't get a better person, and somebody hopefully will hire him and he'll get another chance in different circumstances. And even if I said this to you last week, Smokey, but, you know, sometimes in the league, in professional sports, I think it happens in all the sports, you can get to a point anymore with athletes where you need a different voice. College football, you're going to be basketball the same way. You're going to be around your athletes for 3 or 4 years tops. So Kim Mulkey doesn't have to worry about someone in their seventh year or mm-hmm. eighth year not responding to her coaching, because they're not going to be there. And sometimes in the NFL, if you have a veteran team, you need probably a different voice. I think that happened to McCarthy in Green Bay, as I said a few minutes ago. To me, Jason Garrett will never get credit for the things he did. He will only be remembered for the things that he didn't do, and I think that's pretty unfair.
Yeah, and Brad, some of those things that he did were, you've been in this locker room a lot. This team, in spite of struggles in whatever years he was in, for the last couple of years has been pretty devoid of blockheads, you know, selfish yeah. guys who are only that's him. That's him that did that. The way that they drafted and stopped maybe taking chances on guys from small schools and said, look, we're going to build the offensive line and the defensive line, especially with guys who played in big games. That's also him.
It's interesting that you said that about the small schools, because that's a different thing than the blockheads. You yeah. spend a lot of time talking about having the right kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I'm a huge believer in that. Mm-hmm. And he inherited one or two. There were one or two foisted upon him over the 10 years, but not very many. And for the most part, he had the kind of people he wanted. And that's a really important thing. Now, the big school thing is also interesting, because he did believe in that. He does believe in that. And I think you can find some real gems from small schools, leaders and great players. And maybe later on, you know, you take that chance. He was all, I don't know what Mike McCarthy's philosophy about that is, but, you know, Jason believed very much in having a guy who was a leader at a big school and a big conference, because he understood what it was all about.
Brad, do you feel like Jason Garrett would want, if in fact the Giants obviously could be interested in two or three others, including even Baylor's Matt Rhule's name has been attached to that as well. We'll know about that in the next 2 or 3 days. Would Jason Garrett want to go to New York to coach against the Cowboys in the same division?
Oh, I think he would. Now, we have not had that conversation, because he would never, you could never bring up to Jason, hey, what happens if?
Right.
And like, The closest I could ever get to that kind of, and this is someone I know well and consider a friend, the closest I could ever get to that would have been okay, if those two guys go down, who's your left tackle this week? And he understood about being ready for things that can come up. So never been appropriate for me to say, hey, if you don't get renewed, what about going to New York? But I do know that he and his wife very much enjoyed their time living in New York when he was quarterbacking the Giants, and his family, his mother is still in New Jersey. He's got a lot of family in New Jersey. So that would be kind of a natural fit. I don't think there would be any problem for him being in the same division. He'd probably look forward to the chance to show him that they made a mistake. I don't think that would be a deterrence to him at all.
Paul, anything else?
Nope.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year to you guys.
It's Brad Sham, voice of the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy, new head coach. Jason Garrett out. Will be interesting to see if he even gets involved, because one of the things I mentioned about Jason Garrett is that this is not like a coach who had a year or two left in his contract. His contract ended the moment they beat Washington. I guess January 14th technically is when his contract runs out. So he's got a little over a week left on his contract, but you understand what I'm saying. He doesn't get paid anymore after January 14th. This is not like a coach who's been fired, who had a year or two or three left on his contract, who then gets that money. And then if he gets another job, then there's some sort of, you work it out where you don't get all of it, but you still get some of it. He's now unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's good enough to go 80-something and 60-something with the Cowboys, you would think, and with some constrainment, some constraints, well, I would love to see what he could do somewhere else. Yes, the Cowboys have this apparently or allegedly really talented roster, although I think sometimes we fall in love with the team, the name, or whatever. But there are obviously some players that are very, very good. I would like to now see Jason Garrett get a chance somewhere else, whether it's not this year or next, and see what he can do somewhere else under different circumstances. And if it's not any better, or if it's just not going to work out, that's fine. But I think he has earned an opportunity somewhere else with a team that just needs a little bit of discipline, stability, process, focus, day by day, winning every day. He would be one of those that you at least need to discuss that with.
If he does, say he goes somewhere, Cleveland, New York, wherever, do you think he tries to bring any of the people that will not get retained by McCarthy?
Staff with him? Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Although, a lot of the staff, you still wonder how much was that his decision, mm-hmm. and how much was that Jerry reacting to, you know, a lot of things.
Well, I mean, Scott Linehan got, I mean, that took a long time. You know, and I think he had to convince him, then he had to convince him to fire it. You know, so I don't know. I don't know how much of the input on the staff that Jason Garrett had. I do know who was the offensive line coach that he showed the door to. Well, two of them. Paul Alexander, that was kind of put on him, and then he brought in Mark Colombo. And then there was the coach, the one who disagreed with him on the kneeling, that had the whole thing about the kneeling and kind of...
Oh, yeah.
In that, we saw the video in the meeting, you could tell he was very...
That wasn't Alexander?
No, that was a different guy. That was a...
Yeah, whoever.
But yeah, it kind of usurped his... Not usurped, but like was very insubordinate about that. And you could tell it's like, all right, well, that's not going to happen here. Jason Garrett... Like, he doesn't get enough credit for the good things he did because, you know, ultimately it's about, you know, hoisting that Lombardi trophy, and he didn't get close to that. But there were some things he did.
He was the head coach for 10 years, and they won two playoff games, and they never played in an NFC championship game. And for the Cowboys, if you were the Yankees and your manager didn't do that for 10 years,
that's exactly why they fired
the manager. And you're right. And the Cowboys don't even have the most recent success of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the overall success of the Yankees. But if you go that long, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the standard of the Cowboys. And Jerry, yeah, he's been through Gailey and then Campo. And then, of course, he needed a new stadium. He brought in Parcells, made that work. So we'll see what happens with Mike McCarthy. I like Mike McCarthy. I always liked him. I just never understood exactly, mm-hmm. was it true? Could I really believe that it was just he and Aaron Rodgers, or was it more to that? Our Days on Earth coming up next is ESPN Central Texas.
Unwrap huge holiday savings at Cameron Autoplex with Employee Pricing Plus. Our Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram vehicles come wrapped in great deals. So there's something for everyone on your list. Like 28% off MSRP on Ram 1500s or 10,000 off MSRP on Ram 2500s. You pay what we pay only through the end of the year. So don't delay. Hurry in today. Make that short drive to Cameron and get Employee Pricing today. For the best selection and the best price, remember, it's always cheaper in Cameron.
As your son or daughter starts to make decisions for a career path, encourage them to put themselves in the boots of a U.S. Army soldier. There are more than 150 occupational specialties to help them find the best fit for their future. See all the things your son or daughter can achieve in our boots at GoArmy.com. For more information, go and visit your local Army recruiting office. Parents are encouraged to come.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Winter is here, and many of you realize it. It's time to replace those old, drafty windows. Call Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas and schedule an in-home consultation where you can discuss your specific window needs with an expert team member. Universal's exclusive Unishield windows are spaced using aerospace technology called Super Spacer and have a life expectancy five times that of other systems. And they offer 0% financing for 60 months. That's 0% financing for 60 months. Contact Universal Windows Direct of Central Texas for a free in-home estimate. UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. That's UniversalWindowsCentralTexas.com. 254-301-7760. And be sure to check out their great Google reviews.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
While your favorite team strives to add more gold championship trophies to their trophy case, in business, a championship decision is partnering with UBO Business Services and Sean Hunt. Boasting an industry-leading 94% first-time fix rate, UBO Business Service leaves their copier service competitors in the dust with their own average first-time fix rate of less than 40%. Call Sean Hunt at UBO Business Services today, 254-772-1600. That's 254-772-1600.
Touchdown! At the drop of the tailgate, here's your touchdown meal. Kick off your tailgate party with Slovacek West tailgate boxes. Each box feeds 10 people with delicious savings of your choice. Smoked barbecue brisket, pulled pork, Slovacek sausage, and more. Every box contains everything you need to make that extra point, including sides, utensils, sauce, tea, cups, and ice. Customize and order your tailgate box by 2 p.m. and it will be ready to pick up the next day. Don't punt when you can score big with Slovacek West. Slovacek, you'll love our sausage.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Craig Smoke with an ESPN Central Texas Sports Center update. Prices have been slashed for the year-end inventory sale at Lone Star Structures in Lawton Temple and at LoneStarStructures.com. The wait was not long, but the wait is over as Mike McCarthy has been announced as the Cowboys' new head coach, taking the reins from Jason Garrett. Todd Archer reports McCarthy's deal is for 5 years and $30 million plus, and his staff is already coming together quickly as Saints linebackers coach Mike Nolan is expected to be Dallas's new defensive coordinator per multiple reports. According to various reports, Baylor head football coach Matt Rhule met with the Panthers today in Waco and is expected to interview tomorrow in New Jersey for the New York Giants vacant head coaching job. Baylor men's basketball is up to number 4 in the latest AP Top 25 and coaches poll rankings. The Bears will face number 22 Tech tomorrow night in Lubbock and the number 3 Kansas Jayhawks in Lawrence on Saturday. Tonight in the NBA, Mavs host the Bulls at 7:30. Spurs host the Bucks at 7:30. Rockets have the night off.
Sports Center every 20 minutes, only on ESPN Central Texas.
All right, Days on Earth. 1773, Massachusetts slaves petition legislature for freedom. In 1838, Samuel Morse, Alfred Vail demonstrate the telegraph machine in New Jersey. The Great Northern Railway connects Seattle with the East Coast in 1893. I am still blown away just mentally trying to understand how back before you had these bulldozers and these trucks that now are the size of a skyscraper, of how they blew up things that were in their way back in the day to create highways and or railways with dynamite. And that's it. That's all you had. And what, mules?
Yeah.
Had picks.
Yeah. All right. New Mexico becomes the 47th State of the Union in 1912, and Alfred Wegener
geophysicist meteorologist presents his controversial theory of continental drift in 1912. Clyde Barrow kills Tarrant County Sheriff Malcolm Davis after walking into a trap set for another criminal. In 1951, Indianapolis Olympians beat the Rochester Royals in NBA record 6 overtimes. Longest game in NBA history, it was 75-73. Ted Turner, back in 1976, bought the Atlanta Braves for what was then $12 million. Lenny Wilkins passes Red Auerbach in 1995, becoming the NBA's all-time winningest coach. 939 wins, and I'm not so sure he had more losses.
I mean, he coached for a long time, but I don't think of Lenny Wilkins when I think of the greats.
Great player,
but a
good
coach.
Yeah. Barry Switzer resigned on this date in 1998 as the head coach of the Cowboys. Agreement reached between the NBA and the players' union, ending a 204-day lockout season. Was seasoned by 50 games? Was it cut by 50 games?
Yeah, they cut 50 games.
That was in 1999. Randy Johnson, the lefty, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz, Craig Biggio, all inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame. That's a powerful class. John Gruden returns to the NFL as the head coach of the Raiders after nearly a decade of broadcasting on Monday Night Football.
Also, Garrett left one out. The last time I felt true joy, this date on 2014, Florida State beat Auburn in the national championship game. But that's okay.
Yeah,
it's fine.
That's my bad fault. I got you next time.
Born of this day,
Garrett, don't include it next year.
Okay.
Born of this date, Ralph Branca, pitcher, shot heard around the world, born in Mount Vernon, New York. In 1946, Sid Barrett, English guitarist and early vocalist of the band Pink Floyd, was born in Cambridge, England. He died in 2006. In 1955, in my opinion, the best physical comedian who's ever lived, Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean, Blackadder, was born in Consett, County Durham of England. 1961, Howie Long, American NFL tackle, actor, broadcaster, born in Somerville, Massachusetts. Went to Villanova, right, Smokey?
Who?
Howie Long. Played football at Villanova.
Yes.
In 1964, Charles Haley, Hall of Fame NFL defensive end with the 49ers and Cowboys, was born in Gladys, Virginia. Your turn.
Golly, Gladys, Virginia. I don't even know where that might be, and I'm sure I lived in Virginia for 4 years. All right, Louis Braille, inventor of the system of reading and writing for the blind, dies of tuberculosis at the age of 43 in 1852. Imagine what the Braille system meant to those who could not see. 1919, Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th United States president.
The GOAT!
Dies in New York at the age of 60 in 1919. In 1949, Victor Fleming, American film director, The Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind, died at the age of 65. I don't normally watch any of the award shows. I do not watch the ESPYs. I do not watch the Academy Awards. I do not watch the Emmys. I do not watch any of those shows because it's become so separated from normal people that it's just, to me, it's almost gotten to the point where it's just, how rich can you be? And then also, how much can you make a political statement? And I'm sorry whether I even agree with whoever they've discussed over the years or not. And I've never felt that way about any president. I just got fed up with it. So I don't watch him. So last night I'm watching, I don't know what it was. Honestly, I don't remember. I was kind of zoned out. And I saw on the timeline, Paul, what's his name?
Ricky Gervais.
Look, Ricky Gervais. And a little 7-minute clip came up on the air. Garrett, did you see this?
Yeah, Paul showed it to me, and I thought it was perfect.
He basically took all of the snots in Hollywood, and there are a bunch of them there, and basically, for 7 minutes, discussed how disgusting and how arrogant and how completely clueless every one of them is. For 7 minutes, and there was laughter. And there were some that were laughing, and then there were some that were like, oh, my God, did he just say that?
I'll tell you, Tim Cook from Apple didn't think he was funny at all. And that's because he took a shot. He took two shots back to back.
One of the lines was, for all those in Hollywood, the actors and actresses or directors or whatever, is if ISIS started streaming shows, you would have your agent contact them.
Yeah.
And one of them was, And the best of everything that was said, only because I do agree with everything he said, even though he got a little raunchy at times, that wasn't on the clip. I think most of that was bleeped out. The part about you are in no position whatsoever to tell us about what's wrong with anything, because mm-hmm. you're so separated from the normal human being of what we live every day compared to where they live every day. It was, I was stunned he was able to do that in front of that audience, which is so damn full of themselves.
You know what I think? And I don't know if he is or not. I think what party brought it on, I've read some of it. So they had like a completely meatless meal for everyone there last night.
No.
And I think he's like, you know what?
They had no like prime rib? Yeah. And, oh my God.
So he's like, you know what? I'm going. And Ricky Gervais is not a guy. He's been in... He gets this way when he hosts the Globes. This is the fifth time he's done it. Because that's the kind of comedian he is. And he's strong enough to get away with it. I mean, he made a joke about Mel Gibson a couple years ago or right to his face. And that's why everybody, you know, plus like he even said about Kevin Hart, he's like, so Kevin Hart has tweets 10 years ago that he can't host the Golden Globes. I'm sitting here doing this now and no one's stopping me.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was, I thought it was funny. And you know what I loved about it is that, that doesn't mean all the people he was talking to are like this, but it was just like I'd never heard anybody just take him on the way he did. All right, for Paul Catalina, for Garrett Ross as well. Tomorrow, we believe we'll have Baylor Athletic Director Mac Rhodes. That could be interesting. And then also Matt Flynn, who played for Mike McCarthy a couple of different times with Green Bay, John McClain, 530, among some others. I'm David Smoke. Good night.